proud and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis.
I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Milligano. What goes around comes around. Only yesterday, the head of Walter Reed Army Medical Center was fired by the Secretary of the Army. Now, CBS News correspondent Howard Ehrenstein says it would appear that directive from Secretary of Defense Robert Gates has come around to do a reality check on the Secretary of the Army.
Senior defense officials say Army Secretary Francis Harvey was fired because he temporarily replaced the commander to Reed with another general who also may have played a role in the neglect of the outpatient.
I'm disappointed that some in the Army have not adequately appreciated the seriousness of the situation pertaining to outpatient care at Walter Reed. Some have shown too much defensiveness and have not shown enough focus on digging into and addressing the problem.
Gates said the care of the wounded at Walter Reed should be the Pentagon's highest priority. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
The problems at Walter Reed pertain not to the quality of medical care for wounded soldiers, but rather to the treatment of those who are well enough to be outpatients living in Army housing at Walter Reed. One building was singled out by the Washington Post as being in bad repair, including having mold on interior walls. Between Alabama and Georgia, the count is at least 20 dead from a swarm of tornadoes, one taking direct aim at a high school in Enterprise, Alabama.
It's a school that is totally smashed to pieces.
CBS News correspondent Mark Straussman says the kids were gathered in the school hallway as the tornado came bearing down on them.
There's been a lot of second-guessing about, well, why did they let the kids stay in the school? And the response is that this is the tornado drill. This is the best they possibly could have done. They had practiced this drill. The kids were told to huddle in an area that was considered to be the most safe part of the school structurally. It just so happened that that part of the school took the direct hit.
In fact, officials say the count of dead at the school, 8, would have been higher if the kids had been permitted to leave school. 1 week down and no word from the jury yet on Scooter Libby, the White House staffer accused in the investigation in of a CIA operative from the White House. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato says that we'll be back at it again on Monday.
Jurors are giving the first real glimpse of where they stand. In a note left before their weekend break, they asked what exactly the government has to show to prove its case beyond a reasonable doubt. More precisely, they want to know if evidence must show it wasn't humanly possible for Libby to have forgotten conversations he had with reporters and officials about CIA officer Valerie Plame Wilson. That suggests they're unsure prosecutors have reached that threshold.
Well, tonight's tonight. I have a big jackpot in a multi-state lottery. This one's the Mega Millions lottery worth $267 million. A dozen states from New England to Georgia through Texas to California. This is CBS News.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Emerging research suggests that eating foods naturally rich in antioxidants may help protect your memory. I think that's big news. Even more surprising is where to find those protective antioxidants. Did you know Welch's 100% grape juice has powerful antioxidants just like red wine? In fact, one independent study just ranked Welch's 100% grape juice the number one beverage for antioxidant capacity per serving among 1,000 foods tested. So if you want to help protect your memory, remember to drink delicious Welch's 100% grape juice every day. This is Charles Osgood. I'll see you on the Osgood File.
Hello?
Mr. Johnson, this is Greg's cell phone calling.
My son, Greg?
Yeah, I'm with him all the time. I know what's up.
What's up?
Well, the other night, Greg was at this cat's crib, and he was smoking a blunt.
What? I'll put the fear into that kid?
No, I meant the other dude. Greg passed.
Still, if he was there, let me talk to Greg.
Hold up. G's taking a test right now. I'm turned off.
And then how can...
Try us back after school. That's prime time.
Talking. The anti-drug. Learn more at theantidrug.com. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
It's one of those stories where you have to preface it with, now you can't make this stuff up. Today's offering comes from CBS News reporter Jim Krasula.
18-year-old Elvis Polanco probably felt pretty invincible when he allegedly broke into his ex-girlfriend's apartment on Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, armed with a 3-foot sword. Imagine his surprise when he was confronted by her roommate, who grabbed a sword of his own and whacked the intruder. It turns out the second man was a sword collector. Polanco was not seriously hurt. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Do you say hush when a new Geico commercial comes on television, a new one featuring modern-day cavemen still insulted with the tag to the Geico.com pitch, even a caveman can do it? Brace yourself. This bud's for you. Variety reports the same writer's penning a half-hour sitcom for ABC about three modern-day cavemen living and regularly being discriminated against while living in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Lou Maligano, CBS News.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot.
I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pains?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
How can students improve their test scores? Well, there's tutoring, cramming, perhaps praying. We suggest throwing a brick at the problem. No, really. Talk to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We can turn piles of bricks into amazing schools, specially designed to inspire and motivate students and to optimize their learning and success. Talk to an AIA architect. And don't wait till the night before the test. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, 6 minutes after the hour.
Never fight them. Those who fight wars, they never like them. Those who write laws.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, where we cover issues of war and peace and the life in between. We've got a lot to talk about over the next 3 hours. In our first hour, we're going to talk about whether we become captive to something like Vietnam syndrome. We could call it Iraq syndrome. Professor Ira Chernus returns to our program. He'll be with us in a moment. Later this hour, we'll talk to Andrew Brown, who served in the first Gulf War and is a member of the IAVA. That's Iraq Afghanistan Veterans of America. We'll talk about Walter Reed. And another Army official, the Army Secretary Francis Harvey, resigned today as the Bush administration tries to dig its way out of the Walter Reed bad press. Next hour, we'll talk about some of the changes in the wind here at the Peter B. Collins Show. You know about part of it. This is our last day on the air at KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. And we've got some changes to announce on the production side of the program, too. We'll do that next hour. And in our final hour on Friday, as usual, we spend it with Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. He'll be posting an exclusive interview this weekend with Clint Curtis, the guy who went up against a sitting Republican. And, well, he has not yet conceded the election from last November. We'll tell you about that and a lot of other issues in the voter integrity sector coming up in our final hour today. If you'd like to join the conversation at any moment, do it. Call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And you can always drop me an email, peter at peterbcollins.com. It's past time.
It's time to go home to Chicago.
A brand new poll was released today by the New York Times and CBS News. Bush's approval rating has dropped 13 percentage points among Republicans. Overall, his job approval remains at one of its lowest points, 29% of all Americans saying they approve of the way he does his job. and that's down from 34% at the end of last October. 23% to approve of the way Bush is dealing with the situation in Iraq. Only 23%. And 25% approve of his handling of foreign policy in general. Three-quarters of those polled say things are going badly for the United States in Iraq, and only 23% say the efforts to bring stability and order to Iraq are going well. With that in mind, we turn to Professor Ira Chernus. He's a professor of religious studies at the University of Colorado at Boulder. Welcome back to our program, Ira Chernus.
Thank you. Good to be back with you.
Nice to talk with you again. And you posted a powerful commentary at Tom Dispatch, and it's now up at commondreams.org, about your musing about what was called Vietnam syndrome a couple of decades back and whether we are slipping into Iraq syndrome. So first, define for people, especially those a little younger than you and me, who may not recall what Vietnam syndrome was.
Well, Vietnam syndrome was a name that was given to the growing reluctance that the American public had back in the 70s to get involved in war, looking at the disaster in Vietnam, saying, we don't want to send our troops abroad to kill and be killed again. Maybe it shouldn't have been called a syndrome. That seems to imply that there's something pathological or neurotic about it. It was probably a pretty common sense, wise judgment on the part of people. The problem is it didn't last very long, that by the late 1970s, the Republicans, led by Ronald Reagan, were saying that we should not be so hesitant to get into wars, that that was a sign of national weakness, that if we were going to be a strong, proud nation, we had to be willing to build up our military might and use it. And, of course, Reagan won two elections pretty decisively running on that kind of platform. So my concern is that as there's a growing sense in the country, obviously, that we made a mistake in Iraq, now it's two huge wars that we've essentially lost, that have failed within a generation. What lesson are people going to draw? You know, they might draw the lesson that we should stop relying on military force to try to achieve our national goals. But on the other hand, we might, within a few years, get a repeat of what happened in the late 70s with the rise of Reagan, and we might get a kind of a backlash, a boomerang, where people will start saying, whoops, we got to show how strong we are, how tough we are, we got to start throwing our might around again. And I'm just saying, let's watch out and recognize that it could go either way.
Well, that opportunity could be on the horizon, given the Bush administration's posture toward Iran. Let me read a lift here, a paragraph from your essay. The very idea of such a syndrome implied that what the Vietnam War had devastated was not so much the Vietnamese or their ruined land as the traumatized American psyche. As a concept, it served to mask, if not obliterate, many of the realities of the actual war. It also suggested that there was something pathological in a post-war fear of taking our arms and aims abroad, that America had indeed become, in Richard Nixon's famous phrase, a pitiful, helpless giant, a basket case. Now, there are a couple of powerful concepts here, Ira, and one is that it does appear that we're prepared to become oblivious about a lot of the issues related to how we got into Iraq, and we see some of that being repeated with what appears to be a almost identical pattern now leading to conflict with Iran.
That's true, although on the other hand, I think there's much more suspicion, obviously, about the supposed intelligence reports on the Iranian nuclear capability and intention than there would have been a few years ago, because we know how we were misled in Iraq. So, you know, I want to encourage people to read the evidence both ways, to be both optimistic and cautious at the same time. But the whole question of what lessons will we learn from this Iraq war, that's a crucial one. And one thing I've been thinking about just today is that we might be mistaken to put all the blame on the Bush administration. You know, it's going to be real easy for the Democrats to say, well, the Bush people fought the war badly. They fought it ineptly. They didn't do it right. Put us Democrats in office, and when we go to war, we'll do it right. I would hate for that to be the lesson that we learn from this war. And so it might be a good idea to look at both Vietnam, which the Democrats took us into, and Iraq, which the Republicans took us into, and say, what do they have in common? What is it that both parties are doing in terms of foreign policy that leads us into these disasters.
Well, what you just described strikes me as similar to the off note, the half note, the sharp note that John Kerry sounded in the 2004 campaign, where he wasn't at that point ready to declare the whole thing a failure. He was going to do a better job of securing Iraq than George W. Bush had to date. And that it didn't work for me then, and it doesn't work for me now.
And one of my concerns is that what we hear from so many Democrats is that, well, we Democrats will get us out of Iraq so that we can fight the war on terrorism more effectively. Well, where are we going to fight this war on terrorism? Where are the Democrats going to take us? And I'm not into bashing the Democrats. I'm just saying that as we try to learn the lessons of this war, it is really important not to mask the realities, not to hide from the realities, but to recognize that there's a pattern here that we can trace back to the Vietnam War and some would say back even into the Korean War, which Democrats and Republicans alike supported, and to say that it's a larger kind of consensus of the foreign policy elite, but also, and this is really the main point of this piece I had published today, right, that this resonates with the American people, because mm-hmm. the American people want to believe not only that their country is strong, but that it's virtuous.
Yeah, and you refer to that as victory culture, and we're going to take a break. When we come back, Ira Chernus, I want to go into some detail about that. The other thing I want to talk with you about is what I call the wishful thinking that Curtis LeMay offered in the early 1970s. You know, if we had just been able to nuke Vietnam, we would have won. And I feel like some of that syndrome is making a nasty resurgence. We'll take a break and continue. If you have a question or comment for Professor Ira Chernus, get on the line now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 is my toll free number here at the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Rock Roller Real Estate, the number one Sunday morning real estate show. This week we'll be talking about a great market, Palm Springs and the surrounding areas, Indian Wells, La Quinta, Palm Desert, and Indio. That's this Sunday morning at 10. For more information on Rock Roller Real Estate, log on to our website at www.rockrollandrealestate.com or call us at 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
People everywhere just wanna be free. Listen, people, listen, that's the way it should be. Deep in the valley, people got to be free.
That's right, they hate us for our freedom, you know. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 21 minutes past the hour, and my guest is Professor Ira Chernus from the University of Colorado at Boulder. Read his piece, commondreams.org, tomdispatch.com. It's entitled, Will We Suffer from Iraq Syndrome? And Ira Chernus, I wanted to ask you to comment first on what I call the Curtis LeMay factor. He was the Air Force general who, after we evacuated Saigon, whined that if he'd only been allowed to unleash nuclear weapons and carpet bomb all of Vietnam, that we would have prevailed. And I feel that the surge, in some ways, Bush's surge, as he calls it, is insurance of that nature. They want to be able to say later, well, we tried, and then those Democrats forced us to stop, and we would have won if they hadn't intervened.
It's likely that in one way or another, the Republicans will cast some kind of blame on the Democrats, on the, quote, liberal media, on the anti-war movement, on all sorts of scapegoats. And I think that there is that's going to resonate with some of the American public, because we have this tradition in the United States, not only that we expect to win because we think we're virtuous, that it's our God-given right to win, but we expect to win quick. And I think that's what that Curtis LeMay kind of comment means, that we have these weapons that we imagine in our fantasy lives are kind of like the instant winning weapon, that in one instant we can just blow up the enemy, and we're frustrated that things take so long, that we can't win this instant decisive victory that somehow we think is our right. And I think that frustration is going to be around for a long time, and it's a question of how folks deal with it. And again, I'm just asking people to be aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to let this happen at random, that those of us who would like the message, the lesson of the Iraq War to be that force doesn't work, that we've got to step in and try to work with the public to shape a different public attitude.
And you credit our mutual friend Tom Engelhart, who is the proprietor of Tom Dispatch, with the term victory culture. And you write, victory culture assumes that the U.S. is bound to win in the end, that in fact we deserve to win because our motives are less self-interested than those of other nations. We may sometimes fight a war ineptly or incompetently, but we always mean well at heart. We want democracy, prosperity, peace, and stability, not just for ourselves, but for everyone. And in victory culture, we kill only because others are out to ambush and kill us. We are by definition the victims, the innocents, never the perps. That whitewashes our motives, whatever they may actually be. This is very well put.
And I want to add very quickly, of course, that that's the story that most white Americans, at least, have been telling themselves ever since before there was the United States. That's the story that the first English settlers came to North America with. That it was all based in the Bible. It was all based in their belief in their divinely ordained virtue. And so I want to make sure people know that what you've read, that's not a statement of fact, mm-hmm. but that's the interpretation that so many Americans so badly want to put on everything that our country does abroad. And that's why there's going to be a really long struggle to come to terms with this failure in Iraq and a really long battle over how to interpret it. And real quick, I want to say Tom Engelhardt's wonderful book, The End of Victory Culture, will be coming out in a second edition in a few months with material on the Iraq War that I hope your listeners will look for, because it's a wonderful book.
Good to know. John in Carmel Valley, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Professor Ira Chernus.
I'm one of those that thinks one of the chief culprits in what the whole world faces is nationalism. It's nations and national governments that brutalize both other nations, and we saw this so vividly this past summer, Israel doing what it did to Lebanon, its neighbor, and we see it internally, where governments brutalize their own people. We saw that especially in what Stalin and Mao did to their own people not that long ago. There's another example. I was looking through an older National Geographic in the 80s, and they did an article on the Roman road building, the Appian Way, and they had an excellent painting of the Spartacus end result, where on a 100-mile stretch between Rome and a city about 100 miles away, they took 6,000 of the prisoners from the Spartacus rebellion, strung them up on crosses like Jesus was crucified, and as the Geographic, which isn't into strong language, it said they put them on the crosses and left them there to rot, which meant, if you used your imagination, it wasn't very long, and there were just skeletons hanging right along that road. Why did they do this? It was Rome's, crucifixion was Rome's way of saying to everyone, do anything to offend the state, no trial, no even kangaroo court will just string you up and leave you to rot by a roadside. This kind of mentality still is very common. And it's so common, you can see it in the war between Hitler and the Soviet Union. Life, 20 million people died in that. Life was worthless in this titanic struggle between those two nations. And the horror of the 20th century is war between Hitler and the Soviet Union. Life, 20 million people died in that. Life was worthless in this titanic struggle between those two nations. And the horror of the 20th century is the big question that historians seem to have to face is, have we progressed at all? Have we learned anything? Look at all the war and terror and trouble just so recently. And we see it again in Lebanon and in Iraq and potentially looming with a war with Iran.
Let's get a comment from Professor Ira Chernus. Go ahead, Ira.
You know, this is something I struggle with all the time. I'm very sympathetic to your critique of nationalism. Perhaps if we could wave a magic wand and abolish it, the world would be better off. In fact, however, for the foreseeable future, into the long distance.
Mel the Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. 648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's a taste you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
It's tax time again. And there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel at Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax return tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today, located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to take a copy of your 2005 federal and California returns and W-2 1099 info for 2006. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today at 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on a bright, sunny, spring-like Friday afternoon in San Francisco. I hope there's good weather happening where you are, wherever you happen to be listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Well, you probably heard about the significant problems at Walter Reed Medical Center, where returning Iraq injured individuals are sent. Secretary of the Army resigned today abruptly. I guess he was doing a heck of a job up until just last week. Going to find out how widespread these problems are, if they're confined to Walter Reed or not.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road to hell.
Now, as you know, I'm deeply opposed to the policy that sent our troops into harm's way in Iraq. But that said, once the decision was made, it was incumbent on our Department of Defense to make the proper arrangements, preparations, planning to handle the casualties, and in particular the severely wounded soldiers who were flown out of Iraq, first usually to Ramstein, and then many of them wind up at Walter Reed. And the Washington Post, which has a very uneven record about the issues of the war in Iraq, to its credit, has published a series of investigative stories about the conditions at Walter Reed. And the response has been very interesting. First of all, the White House tried to pass the buck, said, oh, that's an Army problem, you should call the Pentagon. And then they said, okay, well, we take this very seriously and we'll look into it. Earlier this week, we heard reporting that soldiers recovering at Walter Reed have been put on a special regimen that's quite unusual for a military hospital. And they've been told to shut up, not to talk to the press about any problems that they're having, whether it's mice and other rodents in the facilities or the problems they've had getting their paperwork attended to and actually getting their injuries and their rehabilitation attended to. Joining us to talk about these and other issues is SFC, that Specialist First Class, Andrew Brown. He served in the First Gulf War as an armor crewman and as an advisor recently to the newly formed Iraqi Army. His primary mission there was to advise, coach, and mentor the officers and NCOs, non-commissioned officers of the Iraqi Army, on tactics, intelligence gathering, and operations. He's currently serving in the U.S. Army Reserve and is an employee of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Drew Brown, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, sir.
Nice to talk with you. Now, when it says you're an employee of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, does that mean you work for their road crews, or is that your status as part of the Army Reserve in Pennsylvania?
No, sir. I actually work for one of the agencies within the Commonwealth, the Department of Labor and Industry.
I see. Okay, great. Well, I want to thank you for joining us, and thank you for your service to our country. We certainly appreciate that.
No problem, sir.
And I want to ask you, I saw your colleague and the founder and executive director of Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, Paul Rykoff, on the NewsHour on PBS the other night, and he was very effective, very forceful in reflecting the interests of the soldiers. Tell me your thoughts about today's resignation of Army Secretary Francis Harvey, and does that do anything to actually fix the problems that have been identified?
Well, at this point, it's kind of difficult to say. His resignation is perhaps a red flag that the problems may have been more systemic than initially thought. The concern for me as a veteran and as an IAVA representative is who's going to step up and what steps are they going to take to remedy those problems that at least have been identified and identify the problems that they don't know about.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this comes on the heels. Harvey, who got sacked yesterday, fired the man who he held responsible, Major General George Waitman, who had been in charge of the Walter Reed Medical Center. Does this satisfy someone in your position? Is this meaningful action on the part of the Bush administration? Or is this just, a couple of firings and then it'll be business as usual?
I'm concerned that it's more the latter than the former. It's one thing to identify a problem. It's another thing to take steps to remedy that problem. For example, the Department of Defense has come up with a form called the Post-Deployment Readiness Assessment. And it's about 21 questions that ask soldiers, sailors, and Marines, and airmen various experiences they might have had while deployed and how they feel, how their health is post-deployment. You know, are they consuming more alcohol? Are they more angry? Are they more depressed? And in filling out that form, they hope to gather information on people with potential problems for post-traumatic stress or lingering injuries as a result of their deployment. Now, theoretically, that form would be used then to identify those soldiers and treat them. The problem is they're just identifying and they're not doing anything about it. And, and I know this from personal experience because I've filled out the form 5 times since I returned in 2005, and no one has contacted me about the 2 issues that I raised.
Oh, really?
That's correct, sir.
Wow. Now, one of the things that has been raised here, you mentioned these assessments, and in the lengthy reporting from the Washington Post, they published a number of anecdotes about individual cases. And one really blew my mind. It was an individual who was, just to properly stipulate, was a functioning human being with, average or above average intelligence before he was deployed in Iraq. He returned with some serious brain injuries, and in evaluating and assessing him, the military said that, oh, he was retarded before he went to Iraq. And they then made an assessment that his exposure in Iraq was only like 20 or 25% responsible for his present condition. And he has memory loss, he has trouble, conducting a conversation, he is clearly impaired, but they want to say that it occurred before he went to Iraq. Now, this begs a number of questions. If he, in fact, was retarded or in somehow impaired before he was sent to Iraq, why was he accepted into the service? We had not, at that point, lowered our standards to the level they are at today. And secondly, isn't it unconscionable for them, after the fact, to try to shove off on mental retardation or some other cause what appears to be the price he's paying for serving his nation?
Indeed. It's repulsive to me, not only as a veteran and as a soldier, but just as an American citizen. This is not a single incident. There are other incidents like this where people have been diagnosed with bipolar disorder or other disorders that just simply were not present prior to their deployment. The fact remains, if they did qualify and they did pass the medical and mental health screenings that the Department of Defense provides all inductees, regardless of branch, if they passed then they got a clean bill of health. And that's what should be the red flag. If they had a clean bill of health to get into the basic training or the boot camp, then they're a viable citizen, and to suggest that this person was somehow retarded before they went into the Army, that doggone hunt, to use an expression.
Well, and it sounds like his wife has been fighting to overturn this assessment, but this is where we get bogged down in the bureaucracy, and the people in Building 18 at Walter Reed are really just a very visible symptom of the incredible challenges that people face trying to get appropriate treatment from the Army medical system.
It's not just the medical system, it's the VA. There's big dollars in politics involved in this, and you know, my absolute credit and respect to the doctors and the nurses and the staff of those hospitals. 99 times out of 100, they are absolutely focused on patient care. I have met few that are not focused on patient care. It's the administrators and the politicians that have their hands in the mix that increase the bureaucracy and make it difficult and challenging for soldiers to get care to begin with, and number two, to provide quality care.
We're talking with Drew Brown, a member of the Iraq-Afghanistan Veterans of America, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment, you can call us right now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Drew, one of the reasons we extended the invitation to IAVA today was because Paul Rykoff was speaking about something that I heard for the first time the other night on the PBS NewsHour, and that is TBI, or traumatic brain injury. And this has caused the military to have to develop new protocols, and it's a result of a combination of factors. One is hopefully improvements in the body armor and helmets that our soldiers have been equipped with. But also on the deficit side, the rather resourceful insurgents in Iraq have developed these improvised explosive devices and the shaped devices, and many of our soldiers are being badly injured because of them. And what Paul Rykoff pointed out is that there is no screening for returning vets for this kind of brain injury, even those who have reported concussions or other types of head injuries that would, presumably lead somebody to say, we ought to check you out, from neck to the top of your head and really scan your brain and make sure that it hasn't been damaged or severely injured.
That's correct. In fact, Paul Rykoff and I and a number of other members of IAVA were in Washington, D.C. 2 weeks ago and a little bit last week as well, speaking to members of the Congress and the Senate about two pieces of legislation that are currently in the Senate, and we're hoping to get support in the House as well, or get somebody to initiate a similar piece of legislation. The first one is Senate Bill 117, which is sponsored by Senators Obama and Snow. And that piece of legislation requires mandatory mental health screening. And a portion of that would also cover, brain injury evaluations from TBI. So we're hopeful that those pieces of legislation can, one, pass the Senate and or be introduced into the House as well.
Mm-hmm. And this is a little separate, but it concerns me, and I know many other people. What about exposure to depleted uranium? Do you think that every returning soldier should be screened for that as well?
I certainly wouldn't be opposed to it. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think that it's that prevalent, the usage of depleted uranium, that it would be cause a number of problems? I don't know that it would be that easily definable, but at the same time, if the means are there, and if you're already going to be doing mandatory testing on the soldiers, then absolutely that should be included in the battery of tests.
Mm-hmm. Now, it strikes me that they really deserve a full physical and not just a, hey, how you doing, soldier? Aren't you glad to be home?
And that's one of the problems that we have, and this is my own personal experience as well, and a number of other vets, literally thousands of vets can offer the same or similar type of story, and that is, when you get home, you may have a minor injury that, you know, maybe I'll get this looked at, or maybe you want to talk to a mental health professional or what have you. And because of the way the Army is set up in the bureaucracy, and one of the things that it's sort of like dangling a carrot in front of you. They say, okay, soldier or Marine or airman, you can receive treatment for your injury. Now's your opportunity if you want to do this. But if you receive treatment, you're going to stay here at Fort wherever, and you're not going to ship home with the rest of your unit. Now, after a year in combat, I can't think of many people. That injury has to be pretty severe for you to stay on active duty as a reservist.
Mm-hmm.
In order to bypass going home.
Well, and Drew, even if we could wave a magic wand and fix all the problems in the Army's medical system as identified there at Walter Reed, and I certainly presume there are problems in the other facilities around the country and even in other parts of the world, there's a significant issue about the transition. Once a soldier is discharged by a military medical center, the Navy and Air Force have them too, then you are handed off to the VA or to regional hospitals. And that appears to be a nightmare scenario as well. I need to take a break, and when we come back, I'll give you an opportunity to comment on that. And we'll go to the phones, too. If you have a comment, you can join us right now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. We're talking with Drew Brown from Iraq, Afghanistan, Veterans of America, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
One Day Income Tax Service, family owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes away from the hour. We continue with Andrew Brown, a specialist first class, served in the first Gulf War, also has spent time in Iraq as an advisor to the new Iraqi Army, and he's in the U.S. Army Reserve and an employee of the state of Pennsylvania. And Drew, before the break, I posed the question about that transition from the military hospitals into the VA. Just how problematic is that in your view?
It's a pretty significant problem. When you look at it from an active component perspective, that is the soldiers that are, or the personnel who are soldiers and Marines 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When they get released from active duty, when they're terminated, they terminate their contract and they go into the civilian world, it's a pretty big deal for them to make that adjustment. They might be 20, 25 years old, maybe they're a staff sergeant, and for their career, they've made life and death decisions for themselves or their crew and their team. And now they're placed in the civilian world, and they've got somebody that might be their age, maybe younger, maybe older, who just doesn't get that military mindset. And they're giving them orders and telling them what to do in a civilian employment. And this guy who's, or this soldier or sergeant, they've probably never paid an electric bill in their life because everything's been there for them as a service member. Mm-hmm. Now they've got to pay the electric bill and a mortgage or rent and deal with a boss that doesn't understand them. And maybe they have a problem with alcohol to begin with. And things just add up. Something's going to break.
Mm-hmm.
Something's going to snap. So the problem is there. The other issue that we have is a term of military culture. In the military culture, it's not exactly the most easy thing. There's a mystique or a problem there's with going to seek mental health counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a problem. We want to remove that. And that's one of the other components of the S-117 Obama Snow Bill. With that mandatory mental health screening, that's going to identify soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some resources for them. The VA does provide mental health services for soldiers. And there's another component of the VA that works a little different. It's called vet centers. The vet centers also provide specifically mental health counseling for soldiers who are returning from all wars, in mm-hmm. fact, from Vietnam and through.
Well,
with this.
The other night after I saw your colleague Paul Rykoff on the NewsHour, they brought on the Secretary for Veterans Affairs, the head of the VA, Jim Nicholson. And what an empty suit that guy is. And I can imagine the producers said, gosh, should we let Rykoff at him? Oh, I guess not. Because they were separate segments, and Nicholson perhaps insisted on appearing alone. But he tried to spin the numbers. He tried to present a real rosy picture and, you know, was very vague about the nature of the problems and the nature of his proposed resolutions.
There's a couple of problems here, and it's embarrassing that a West Point graduate and a Ranger captain and a man who served 22 years in the military as active and reservist would not see and understand the problems of returning veterans. That, mm-hmm. to me, is just an absolute embarrassment.
Yeah.
The problems, the other problem, the fact that the VA actually returned money to the General Accounting Office for that would have been provided for mental health services. They were actually returned, I think it was $100 billion that would have paid for mental health services throughout the country for veterans of all wars, and they returned the money because they didn't have a way to implement it by the time they got the money.
I'd suggest that's $100 million, not billion.
Sorry, $100 million.
I don't think the VA budget's $100 billion.
No, it's not quite that big.
It might ought to be, but it's not right now.
It might get there.
Leonard in Arizona is a vet from Iraq. Join us, Leonard. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks a lot. Hey, I just wanted to say how disgusted I am at what's going on at the that building across the street, but we all knew that was the truth. These politicians now who are putting these generals' heads on the chopping block, they're not doing anything. That place is right down there with all those folks in the beltway of Washington, D.C. I give compliments to the people who work in the VA centers and the hospitals. They do a great job, but, you know, the fact is rats, mice, all these things in our hospital. I'm disgusted, and I call on Senator John McCain and John Heil Kimler. You know, Kyle, you know, why don't they do something? You mean to tell me after all these years this has been going on, they didn't know about it? You know, this is disgraceful. And for all you folks out there who say the soldiers like myself shouldn't speak out against this,
This is what these people that you young men out there and women are being led to believe. They're going to support you when you need them. They're not supporting you. Mm-hmm. They're only worried about getting another star in their collar. So just remember that when King George wants to send more, and send your sons and daughters also. If they're thinking about joining the military right now, do not do it. Do not do it. They are not going to get away with treating our men and women this way. It's disgraceful, and it's un-American. And these neocons ought to be ashamed of themselves. So anyways, thank you for letting me have my piece, and you have a good afternoon.
You bet, Leonard. Thank you very much. Now to Vivian in Phoenix. Thanks for your call. You're on the air, Vivian.
Yes. I work as a case manager here in Phoenix for children and teenagers who have had a traumatic brain injury.
Uh-huh.
And we call it the invisible disability because it is so hard to see for most people from the outside. And the kind of evaluation that these soldiers need is called a neuropsychological eval, which is way beyond a mental health or an educational eval, which tests every part of brain function to see what is impaired and what are their best learning techniques and how we can adapt their life from now on to take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the military is somewhat reluctant to do that because it's very expensive.
Well, they acknowledged on television the other night that the VA doesn't really have treatment centers for this traumatic brain injury category that seems to have developed around the situation in Iraq. Do you have a comment there, Drew?
That's really correct. I don't know if you were able to watch the special report from Bob Woodward and his return from Iraq on ABC. I think it was Monday or Tuesday night. He talked about the fact that there are two TBI facilities in all of the DOD's hospital system. That's not enough.
No, it certainly isn't. Vivian, thank you for a well-informed call. We appreciate the information. Let's squeeze in one more. Diane in Phoenix, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Yes, this has been such a brilliant conversation. I really can't add too much except to say that Walter Reed is just the head of the snake. We are 20-year career military. They have not kept their promises to the Vietnam vets. Our medical benefits have been HMO'd out to us. It's a terrible situation for young men, and bravo to every young soldier that speaks up. It is so difficult if you have been a military member to speak out. They make it so hard for you, and bravo to them all. And I appreciate what you do, Peter, and I hate to see you go.
Well, thank you, Diane. I really appreciate your contribution today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Well, Drew Brown, I want to thank you for joining us today. Thanks for your efforts to represent and secure the best for your colleagues who are still in uniform and still fighting. Do you have a risk of further deployments in Iraq?
The possibility is there. It's as good as it is for any other reservist.
Mm-hmm.
I can't speculate specifically or anything, but to my knowledge, the possibility still exists that I could be deployed yet again.
Thanks very much. Give our best to Paul Rykoff and everybody at IAVA.
I will, sir. Thank you.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Pour me another tequila.
Here's what people are saying about the hottest new show in town.
Joe, thank you so much for being here.
I want to wish you the best of luck with this. I think it's a great service.
Hey, drink up, all you people.
12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we take the shame and blame out of addiction. Join me, Sheila Gale, Saturday afternoons, 4 to 5. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time. Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
At the Pentagon, another casualty in the Walter Reed mess.
Secretary of the Army, Dr. Fran Harvey, offered his resignation. I have accepted his resignation.
In the aftermath of the tornadoes, grief and awe.
It's just amazing how powerful that wind was.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The problems at Walter Reed Army Medical Center have...
Secretary of Defense demanding accountability. He didn't get it yesterday, but he might now. CBS News correspondent David Martin has the latest development.
Fed up with what he considered his indifferent reaction to the scandal over the treatment of wounded soldiers at Walter Reed, Defense Secretary Gates demanded the resignation of the Secretary of the Army. Then he publicly read the Army the Riot Act.
I am disappointed that some in the Army have not adequately appreciated the seriousness of the situation pertaining to outpatient care at Walter Reed. Some have shown too much defensiveness and have not shown enough focus on digging into and addressing the problems.
Earlier in the week, Gates had virtually ordered Army Secretary Francis Harvey to fire the commander at Walter Reed, Major General George Waitman. Harvey did as he was told, but then angered Gates by replacing Waitman with Army Surgeon General Kevin Kiley, who tried to downplay the severity of the problems at Walter Reed.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. Outrage is growing in Congress about the whole mess and the broader questions about inadequate funding for the large number of wounded Iraqi veterans the administration never paid for. Democratic Senator.
I think America should look at what's happened at Walter Reed with both shame and sorrow.
Two different committees will hold hearings on Monday, one of them out at the Walter Reed Hospital, to hear from patients and family members and from the now ousted commanders. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
President Bush, in his weekly radio address tomorrow, will say he's deeply troubled by the revelations from Walter Reed. He'll appoint a commission to investigate. Now this.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Center, this is Sandy. How can I help you?
Can you check the service engine light?
Well, of course, I can take care of that for you.
OnStar can run a diagnostic check of your vehicle's key systems while you're driving.
When was the last time you put fuel in the Montana?
Day before yesterday.
What I'm showing is an emission system malfunction. What it means is that your fuel cap's not on tight enough.
Oh, well, wonderful.
Only GM offers so many vehicles with the peace of mind of OnStar.
All you're going to need to do is take it off and put it back on, and then the light will go off. That's all that's wrong.
Thank you. I'll do it right now.
Can I assist with anything else?
No, nope, that's fine.
Do remember that we're here to help you 24 hours a day. Thank you for using OnStar.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles and covers unlimited use of all safety and security services. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
Chainsaws were busy today in Georgia and Alabama clearing debris left by the killer tornadoes. Reporter Pete Combs is in America's Georgia.
You can read it on their faces as they walk through the shattered streets of America's. Folks simply stare, astonished at the destruction in their town. In fact, as they walk around sort of in a daze, emergency workers are worried they might actually step on one of the many downed power lines. Two people are dead, but there are more and more reports of people who can't be accounted for.
The official death toll across the region is 20, with the biggest concentration in Enterprise, Alabama, where a twister hit the high school. CBS News reporter Donna Francavilla tells us survivors are credited with saving many lives.
When the Enterprise High School roof and walls caved in on students, many rushed in to help using anything they could put their hands on.
People with car jacks and pry bars and wood, it's just commendable.
Students like Ashton Cutts had safely gone home, but raced back to the scene.
They were doing everything they could to get people out. We even went to go get the weight bars out of the weight room to help pry people out.
Despite heroic rescue attempts, 8 students died. One of them was the child of a teacher at the school.
President Bush will visit the region tomorrow.
I go down with a heavy heart. I go down knowing full well that I'll be seeing people whose lives were turned upside down by the tornadoes.
He'll offer condolences and federal help. A.J. Ramthan, a second baseman for Bluffton University in Ohio, was asleep when the team bus went off a highway overpass in Georgia this morning.
I was lucky that I'm feeling fine. I'm going to heal. Cuts and bruises are going to go away.
4 players, the driver and his wife, were killed. Dr. James Harder is president at Bluffton.
This is deeply impacting all of our students, our faculty and staff. We know these people on a first-name basis, and that makes it all the more real.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Emerging research suggests that eating foods naturally rich in antioxidants may help protect your memory. I think that's big news. Even more surprising is where to find those protective antioxidants. Did you know Welch's 100% grape juice has powerful antioxidants just like red wine? In fact, one independent study just ranked Welch's 100% grape juice the number one beverage for antioxidant capacity per serving among 1,000 foods tested. So if you want to help protect your memory, remember to drink delicious Welch's 100% grape juice every day. This is Charles Osgood. I'll see you on the Osgood File.
Hello?
Mr. Johnson, this is Greg's cell phone calling.
My son, Greg?
Yeah, I'm with him all the time. I know what's up.
Yeah? What's up?
Well, the other night, Greg was at this cat's crib, and he was smoking a blunt.
What? I'll put the fear into that kid?
No, I meant the other dude. Greg passed.
Still, if he was there, let me talk to Greg.
Hold up. G's taking a test right now. I'm turned off.
And then how can...
Try us back after school. That's prime time.
Talking. The anti-drug. Learn more at theantidrug.com. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
This hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, I want to say thank you, Phoenix.
By the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising. Oh, and she'll find a note I left hanging on the door. She'll laugh when she reads the part that says I'm leaving. Yes, she did. Why? 'Cause I've loved that girl
so many,
so many times before.
That's my favorite song about Phoenix. Glenn Campbell had the original. I think it was about 3 minutes long. And then Ike Hayes went into the studio and did the mega version. I think the original was about 18 minutes.
And she'll probably stop at lunch just to give
me a call.
Her sweet goodbye call.
Well, this is it. This is our final broadcast in Phoenix, Arizona for now on KPHX 1480. There's a programming change coming Monday, and new hosts will be here in this time period. I wish them all the best and have no personal grudge or acrimony about the shift that is occurring. But I wanted to take this opportunity to open up the phone lines and invite you to call in. And I want to be able to thank you, because Phoenix has given me an incredible reception, a very strong connection. And I have as evidence here a whole folder filled with over 100 and maybe upwards of 150 now emails from people, all who tried to influence the management to change their decision to move the Peter B. Collins Show. And so lines are open right now if you'd like to call in. You don't have to be from Phoenix, but those are the people we'd like to feature this hour. And I'd just like to be able to offer you my gratitude. And here are some of the people who emailed: Scott, Ruby, Greg, Deborah, Toby, Abby, Jane, Erica, Mike, somebody named Laugham, Greg, Dwayne, Linda, Carol. The list goes on and on, and I won't bore people by reading it all. But if you took the time to email me, or the station, or both, I really appreciate that. And this show will go on. I want people to know that you can go to my website at peterbcollins.com. Don't have the expansion of our streaming fully locked in, but I have had a couple of conversations, and I'm optimistic that sometime next week we'll expand our streaming capability. So I invite you to visit peterbcollins.com. That'll give you access to the live stream at KRXA Radio in Monterey, California, and also access to our archives, which are hosted at whiterosesociety.org. So that's the way to stay in touch. Also, you've got my email, peter@peterbcollins.com. And I welcome future contact. Also, Phoenix folks, you should know that we do the Free Speech Zone Monday through Thursday, almost religiously in our final hour. So even if you're not able to hear us on the radio, you can call in with your thoughts and comments because, as you know, we take calls on any subject from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice or even beyond. So you are personally invited to continue to participate in this program, even if you can't hear it on your AM radio in the car. So if you'd like to check in this hour, feel free. Lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And as soon as he puts the current caller on hold, I'm going to ask Matt Renner to come over to the microphone here because we have a little announcement to make about some changes happening on this side of the microphones. Matt, come on over here. Unplug the headset and step behind the microphone here. Matt Renner has been the producer of the Peter B. Collins Show since July of 2005 when he took quite a risk and moved to Monterey when we started up KRXA 540. And Matt, you have proven to be very able, very competent. You've contributed a lot to me and my knowledge, the things that I need to know about to talk as intelligently as I'm able on this program. And I'm very grateful to you for a great contribution to the startup of this show.
Well, it's been a lot of fun, and I think that it's an excellent, worthwhile cause. And I just appreciate the depth of your knowledge and the way that you've presented it to all of these audiences and the interaction with callers. I mean, one thing that I liked about this show or have liked since the beginning is that there's real people calling in and it's a good conversation and it's never boring and it's always, there's always a sense of actual interaction, which is really lacking, I think, in most talk radio. And as you flip around the dial during the day, as I do, it's just a bunch of hogwash and boring silliness that is just very empty when it comes down to it.
Now, how can you say that? The disposition of Anna Nicole Body is the most important thing in America today.
Right. Well, I mean, even stuff on other progressive radio stations seems to be somewhat empty and attempting to do what the other side does, which is just lambast or
name call.
Scream or name call or even pick apart small little pieces of evidence that don't or arguments that seem silly and don't look at the big picture of things.
Mm-hmm. Now, it probably won't surprise people who have followed the program and who also listen to our segments and maybe go to websites that we talk about that Matt has a new job. Why don't you tell him?
Yeah, I'm going to be reporting for Truth Out. One of the frequent people that come on our show is Jason Leopold, who's the editor, one of the editors there.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be my boss and editor, and I've been working with them for a little while now, and it's going to be a whole different ballgame because
mm-hmm.
I don't just get to bring guests on, have you talk to them. I actually have to be right and try to find facts and write news stories. So it's going to be a lot of fun, but hopefully we'll stay in contact and
definitely
come back and share some of my news for you.
Well, I want to continue to collaborate with Truth Out and with you there. I think it's going to be a terrific arrangement. And I am pleased to announce that while I'm disappointed that you're moving on, I'm very excited for you and have nothing but the best wishes for you. Katrina Rill, who served as my producer when I was doing All American Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio a few years back, is fortunately available.
That's great.
And she's going to be coming on board a week from Monday. So it's going to work out well, and I think we'll strengthen our respective teams and have more to work with in the future.
Yeah, it's very it makes me feel good that there's somebody so competent coming on to take over for me because she's great, and I've met her, and she's a wonderful producer. So I'm really glad that the show will continue.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I want to mention, since it's the last day in Phoenix, is that I really have appreciated hearing from people in Phoenix because over here in the kind of bubble that is the Bay Area, we don't necessarily get as many viewpoints, and to know that people in Phoenix see eye to eye on a lot of these issues is just comforting. I mean, I didn't know much about the Arizona area before, and it's been very impressive speaking to people from there.
A great community of activists, from Leonard, an Iraq vet who has taken on the recall of John McCain, to John Brakey and the election protection teams that we've been in touch with through Brad Friedman and, you know, through direct contact. There are a lot of great people who we've connected with, and we want to maintain those connections. So we invite you to stay in touch with the Peter B. Collins Show. Make sure you know about our website, peterbcollins.com, and that's where you'll be able to find information in the future on streaming options and get the archives and updates. And who knows, we may find another station in Arizona eager to pick up the program. We're actually working on that right now, and we'll see if it comes through. And if so, I've got email addresses who will be the first to know. They'll be the early notified, and of course they'll be fully deputized to spread the word to the rest of you.
Now don't forget about Randall in Tempe. I'm sure we'll be hearing from him later.
I hope
Brad's
so.
Segment.
Yep, very good. Well, Matt, thanks for sharing that news, and all the best to you. I'm excited for your future.
Me too. It's going to be a lot of fun.
There's an old Timbuk 3 song, "Your Future's So Bright, You Gotta Wear Shades." So go ahead and put them on. Let's go to your phone calls now. Joe in Phoenix, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. How you doing, Joe?
Fine, Peter B. I'm going to miss you, buddy.
Well, I'm going to miss you guys, too. And I want to thank you for the warm reception, the thoughtful calls, and even the contrarian tweaking I got from Steve the Republican. Steve, if you're out there, you got to check in today. I want to know when the Libby the Libby Innocence Party is at your house, Steve.
Libby, good old Libby. But I tell you, though, Peter B., you're a classy guy, you're a thoughtful guy, you're a pleasant guy, and you're an intelligent guy, and that's refreshing to hear on radio talk shows, and I wish you the best of luck. Oh, you're going to do great, and I hope another station picks you up.
Well, me too, and we'll see if that happens, and if you haven't checked in with an email, it's not too late to do that. You can always send me one when you get around to it over this weekend or whenever, and I'll have you on the list and then be able to update you as it's appropriate. And some people have asked about satellite radio. We have had some discussions with XM about joining their lineup, and if we're able to firm up a deal, I'll certainly pass that word along to folks in Phoenix, too. Joe, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for checking in. More calls coming up next. It's a Phoenix Appreciation Hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. 888-5-PETER-B is my number. That's 888-573-8372. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show.
Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Remember the time you almost volunteered to work in a soup kitchen? Or when you almost visited the Veterans Hospital? Or when you almost brought dinner to your neighbor with AIDS? Remember all the times you almost helped, almost gave? Well, it's only human, this almost giving. But the truth is, it's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give, give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at the very latest, and it gets to your destination safely. All right, so we're going to start off with a bit of a problem working. Let's cruise on over to Watsonville, Los Alamos Drive at Hall. We have a crash report there. Two pickup trucks are involved in this situation. Del Monte Forest, Holman Highway, that's 68 at Scenic. We do have some people on the roadway, a man in a wheelchair in the lanes, so watch out for that particular individual. And in Carmel, Highway 1 at Rio Road, we have an accident report there. Two cars involved in this crash, and the CHP is now on scene. So that's the latest. Take a look at Highway 17. We have no major stalls or accidents to tell you about, which is great news. The support brought to you by JCPenney's Extreme Sale. It's the JCPenney Extreme Sale. Today and tomorrow, doors open early Saturday at 8 a.m. Saving matter every day.
Colin Show, this portion is brought to you by Naked Airlines.
I used to fly with my clothes on till the airline clothing banned. We went from scanning to banning. One airline had tanning. This was the ad they ran. Fly safe, fly naked. No weapons to find. You're safer with nothing on. Naked Airlines.
And we're taking your calls. It's our Phoenix Appreciation Hour today on the Peter B. Collins Show. Deborah joins us. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. Hi, Peter B. I'm Deborah. I'm just going to a meeting, and I wanted to call and say goodbye real quickly.
Well, thank you.
Tell you how much I've enjoyed your program.
Well, and you've been a frequent caller, and I appreciate your contributions. You're very bright, and you have some good opinions.
And you answered one of my questions. I was really interested to see if you could get on XM anyway, because I've got that in my car.
Oh, cool.
So that would be great, but I'll listen to you on the computer in the meantime.
All right, Deborah.
Okay.
Have a good meeting, and be real serious in there, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Now to Kit in Phoenix. Thanks for your call, Kit.
Hello. I moved to Phoenix 2 years ago from San Francisco, and the first time I heard, I listen to Air America all the time down here, and the first time I heard your voice, I thought, I said to my husband, he sounds exactly like Peter B. Collins. Voila, you were. I really enjoyed your show, and I want to thank you.
And where were you in the Bay?
I understand the person who is replacing you down here is very good also, but we do need more serious, I think, conversations, and our morning show now has gone kind of goofy, and it's too bad, but maybe you'll come back.
Well, I you never know. We never close the door in radio. We just kind of slide up and down the dial, and you never know how things are going to turn around. Kit, tell me where you lived in the Bay Area.
I lived in Danville. I lived a lot of different places there, but the last 15 years I lived in Danville.
I see. Okay.
And now I've moved down to Sun Lakes, which is just south of Phoenix. Here,
and what drew you there? Is that retirement?
Oh, the weather. I was tired of the fog. And lifestyle. It's, you know, lifestyle change thing. So.
And is it working
and we
out?
I love it. It's great.
Yeah? You like it better than the Bay Area?
Well, it's different. I love them both.
Mm-hmm.
So they're great places to live. But the good news is that Arizona is very much a purple state, and it's becoming more blue, I think, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's hope for this state.
Yeah, we've been working to do our part, and I'm very pleased at the way people have responded to the different topics that we've put on, particularly those related to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
thank you very much for your
thank you,
show.
Kit.
Well, good luck to you.
Now we know where she went. I mean, I missed her from Danville. Ted and Tempe, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for your call.
Hello.
It's Tempe via Marin City.
Oh, Marin City. Wow.
Yeah, I miss my hammock getting out over the bay.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm just a couple of miles up from Marin City. My secret studio, I'll now reveal, is in San Rafael.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, well, listen, hopefully the station in Phoenix comes around a little bit in their programming prowess and realizes that the show that they're putting on in the afternoon would do more for them economically, even if it was a morning show live in Phoenix. But for some reason, they want to do this afternoon thing and taking out one of the few real radio voices that we have in the market. I hope that they come around and maybe ask you back and then move the Jeff show to the morning. That would make a lot more sense. I've been programming radio myself for years, and I know that that would be the most desirable thing to do from an advertising standpoint.
Mm-hmm. What kind of radio have you done, Ted?
Well, actually, I programmed the original progressive talk radio / music station in the Phoenix market. But we were on before the 2000 election, and we didn't know back then, but Rove and some of his other people were already out looking up and down the dial in markets, trying to clear the way for what they've been doing since. So we were sabotaged quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
The fight goes on, and we're coming back, shortly in this market as well. That's not why I called.
But Ted, just on that score, you need to send me an email with those details. Maybe we can conspire.
Good.
Okay. But that's not why you called. Go ahead.
No, the reason I called is because we have too many liberals who are thinking about Bush and what he's done in the last 6 years in, I think, a totally wrong way. It's like you believe half of what he does. There's an old Marvin Gaye song that says, believe half of what you see and none of what you hear.
Mm-hmm.
And with Bush, I think you really have to take that literally and do it exactly that way. You can't believe half of what he says and says, well, some of the things that have come out of his administration must be okay, and the rest of them are completely faulty. So you can't have it both ways, and I wish liberals would quit doing that and realize that we really can't trust these people at all. They've not shown any way that we can trust them and treat them that way. So hopefully that comes around. That's what I'm calling.
Very good point. All right, Ted, thanks for the call. Great to touch base with you. All right, thank you. Appreciate that. Now to Jeff in Phoenix. Jeff, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, and let me thank you for taking the time to call.
Well, thanks, Peter. Sorry to hear that you won't be with us for much longer, but perhaps you can find another gig somewhere down the dial.
Well, those are the breaks. It happens. And,
I hear you.
You know, I've survived it before, and we'll survive it this time.
Well, to back up a bit, 9/11, obviously that has been the guise for a lot of that's been going on lately. Everyone was with us. We had a huge sentiment for the United States at that point. George W. decided that he wanted to use that to go to Iraq. Big mistake. All right, water under the bridge. Since then, just win. Just win, W. And he can't seem to do that. Obviously,
you're channeling Al Davis of the Raider Nation. Just win, yeah, baby.
Exactly. Hence the quote. And I'm thinking, if he were an NFL coach, he'd have been out a long time ago.
Amen. Thank you for the call. More coming up next. 888-5 Peter B. Thank you, Phoenix.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Can the aliens save us from global warming? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. We all know the problem. The Earth is in a giant microwave, and God's finger is on the button marked casserole. But now, Paul Hellyer, longtime Canadian politician and UFO believer, says it is time to use the alien technology in the possession of the U.S. military. He told an Ottawa newspaper that it's clear that for the aliens to have crash-landed in New Mexico in 1947, they had to use something even better than canola oil, and it's time to reveal what that was. Hellyer says President Bush is fully aware of alien technology and, in fact, is using it to prepare for an intergalactic war, which he claims is the real reason for that proposed moon base. Now, I know this all sounds crazy, but consider this. If you go to an environmentalist website called offgrid.net, which I have done, on that site you will find a description of a remarkable green home that has it all over Al Gore's place. This is a house that uses a futuristic heating system based on geothermal energy and passive solar radiation, with a cistern under the patio that not only captures and purifies recycled gray water from the plumbing system, but even keeps the patio warm. And it turns out that this home is none other than the Crawford Ranch owned by the man who until a month ago was the world's number one global warming denier, George W. Bush. A coincidence? I think not. Share your secret, Mr. President. Share. Does anyone hear voices? Now this.
Get the good stuff! One of the most stylish accessories available at your local Napa Auto Parts store isn't for your car. It's for your head. It's the all-new 2007 Napa Racing Hat, and it can be yours free. Just bring any old hat into your local Napa Auto Parts store, and you can swap it for this cool new Napa Racing Hat. Hats are free with any purchase at participating Napa locations while supplies last. Limit one per customer. Napa. Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
The Billy Sunshine Show.
Billy Sunshine Show.
With P-Lar. With P-Lar.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different, or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Billy Sunshine Show with P-Lar.
Sundays from 3 to 5. 3 to 5.
On AM 540. KRXA.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We're saying thank you and goodbye for now to Phoenix and the listeners of KPHX. This is our last live broadcast in Phoenix. And from now on, you'll have to listen online. We won't continue on KPHX. They offered us a nighttime slot, but I declined.
I saw a face in the shower door. A cowboy smile came and faded. I reached for my towel on the floor. I didn't think it was exactly where I laid it. You don't scare me, you don't scare me, I said. Whatever it was floating in the air above my bed. He knew I understand. He was the ghost of a Texas ladies' man.
We're taking your call so that I can thank you for making the call. And it was interesting when I first came on in Phoenix live in the afternoons last fall and people started to call. People have that immediate reaction when you pick up their line and say they're on the air to say thank you for taking my call. And for some reason, that line has always bugged me because I'm so grateful to you for listening in the first place. And if you screw up the courage to call in and share a view and argue with the host, well, that takes something. And so when you call in, I prefer to thank you as opposed to hearing you just kind of reach for that crutch. Oh, thank you for taking my call, Mr. Collins. Mary in Phoenix, thank you for calling.
Are you there?
Hi.
Hi. I look forward to the sound of your voice every day at 4:10. And what's more, your shows are full of interesting information and people. But now I'm going to feel abandoned again by the loss of a radio host I've come to depend on.
It's hard, isn't it?
It sure is. I can't tell you. I'm just hoping that somehow they'll put you in. 4 o'clock was perfect for me. I just relaxed when you came on.
Mm-hmm.
I never missed you.
Well, Mary, I really appreciate that devotion, and I'm going to miss being in contact with you folks, and I hope that there'll be some way to connect in the future. But I value the time that we have had to spend together, and it's just kind of the breaks. And, I want to take a moment here to just acknowledge the people at KPHX, Mike Thomas, Billy Foster, Jeff Farias, and others. We had a good thing going, and some changes occurred, some of them beyond their control. And I understand, I've been in the radio business, I'm sorry to say, more than 30 years, and change happens. And I've been hired and I've been fired. I've had shows that were launched. I've had shows that were canceled. And it just comes with the territory. And so I want to, really end this on a high note, one of gratitude and appreciation to you and to the people at KPHX.
Peter, am I still on?
Yes, you are.
Oh.
This isn't the Rush Limbaugh show where you only get one comment and then they cut you.
This is the first call I've made ever to a radio station.
Wow, you're a virgin.
Yes. Well, in that sense, yes.
Yes.
I was going to ask you for Billy Foster's email address, please.
Sure, it's bfoster at aaphx.com.
Aaphx. Thank you very much, Peter.
Thank you, Mary. You made my day. Thanks for the call.
I love you. Bye-bye.
Now to Ed in Aptos, which, to my knowledge, is not in Arizona.
Well, I was passing through Arizona, and I have a little bit of sour grapes, but first a comment, pun intended. I think you'll be like the phoenix and rise from the ashes.
Ooh, I like that. Thank you.
And when I was driving through, I was a little disappointed that I was pretty close to Phoenix and couldn't pick up the signal. So hopefully maybe you could get on a Tucson station that has a big signal, and you could get in back into the Phoenix area through the back door.
That'd be nice, yeah.
I don't know the powers of the various stations there, but I would think they'd have at least one big blockbuster station there.
Well, there are a couple of high-powered stations in Phoenix. I haven't really looked at the listing there in Tucson, Ed, but I'll take that suggestion and check it out.
Well, and one further thing, it's kind of selfish, but we'll have more of you to ourselves here in the
small dinky market. Not only that, Ed, the people in Monterey, Eureka, and Coos Bay are going to have to step up to the plate.
Well, I thought we did. We were keeping you pretty busy.
Yes, indeed. But I was thinking I haven't heard...
Between Billy and I, we can take up all your time.
Yeah, I haven't heard from Dennis in King City in ages, so I was thinking of him the other day, and I want you to check in, Dennis, starting Monday. All right, Ed, thank you for checking in.
Thanks for your efforts. We all appreciate it.
All right, my pleasure. It's what I love to do. Josh in Salinas, you're next. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter B. Those people in Phoenix are really going to miss you.
Well, it seems like it, and I'm going to miss them. It's been a really great relationship.
You'll be a big loss out there, and I do hope to replace you. I don't want to be stingy and just keep doing it ourselves. I heard of your caller, Ted, talking about the crazy thing that many people, liberals, but I think anyone, people would believe the half of what Bush says that hasn't been disproven yet, and are giving the neocons, the Republic Party, a lot, way too much slack. The Republics have shown they're just all out level of corruption and lack of judgment. With 9/11, with Iraq, with New Orleans, with Walter Reed Hospital, the list goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a question for you.
Okay.
WWKD.
What would
Carl do?
He would leak and slime and spin.
What would Carl do if you threw him four fat pitches like Iraq, 9/11, New Orleans, Walter Reed? What the heck would he do?
He would blame Bill Clinton and the liberal media.
And then
Nancy Pelosi.
If Democrats had done things comparatively as bad as the Bush administration, neglecting to pay attention to the notices of what was going to happen on 9/11,
mm-hmm.
the failure they were going to have in Iraq because they didn't plan, they fantasized, to their fantasy solution to New Orleans, which included ignoring the catastrophe after it happened,
right.
to ignoring the Walter Reed Hospital mistreatment of patients for 3 years. If the Democrats had done these things, they wouldn't civilly complain for a day or two. They'd be screaming on the rooftops every day.
Well, they'd be demanding resignations, impeachment, and investigations, and accountability, and personal responsibility. But those rules don't apply when you've got an R behind your name.
Right, and now that Democrats actually control half of one branch of the government, the
mm-hmm.
House of Representatives, Carl is, he's trying out his lines in focus groups right now, I'm sure.
Oh, you bet.
We will be hammered by him in his inimitable style.
Well, apparently Surge didn't test very well. All right, Josh, thanks for your call.
Thank you, Peter.
Good
Bye.
To talk to you. Now, Leonard in Glendale. Hello, Leonard.
Hi. Hello. And see, I couldn't let you go without, on the last show without calling in. I'm like you. I want to be really diplomatic about it and everything because I love Jeff Ferris and Dr. Mike and all those guys. So I'm hoping you'll go, Peter, and everybody else will go to voiceofarizona.com. Talk about this, because I think the people of Arizona don't want you to go away. Of course they don't. We don't want you to, Peter, and we want to keep trying, even if you're in a different station, because it's like a family member or a friend, every time it was traumatic with the other radio show host. So I'm going to go to voiceofarizona.com, and I want to write a story about it, and other people can do some blogging about it, and keep talking, because I sure want to keep your expertise And I don't know, I missed the heck out of you already, and you guys aren't even gone yet. So if people will go to voiceofarizona.com, even though it's another show on here in the affiliate, I think we can convince Mr. Foster, because they're nice people there, that, hey, we could really use you in the mornings, because, we don't get any local news, and or whatever city you're in, San Francisco, all that, you'll be taking in national as well as local news. So anyways, thanks, and please... I'm going to try to go to your site, and we want to keep hearing from you.
All right, Leonard. Well, I really appreciate you, and I do want to single you out, because from the first time you called the program, you have brought us the viewpoint of an actual Iraq veteran who's passionate about these issues, well-informed, and you know how the system works, and you're not afraid to pull on the knobs and the levers, as is evidenced by your effort to recall John McCain. And I give you a lot of credit, and I really respect the voice that you have added to this program.
Thanks, Peter. Keep spreading the kindness and humanity that you do throughout the world, because it helps me, and you're a great example. And thanks, Matt, your producer there. Please keep going.
All right, and you can keep tabs with Matt at truthout.org. He's already writing for them on a freelance basis, and he'll be joining them full-time the week after next.
Both of you. I will keep in touch with both of you.
Beautiful, Leonard. Right. Thank you. Sheldon in Phoenix, thank you for calling. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Peter B.
Hi.
Hey, Truth Out's awesome.
Yes, it is. It's a great site.
Hey, just want to say, yeah, we will miss you. If Jeff wasn't such a good guy, I'd be really angry.
Mm-hmm.
he's a pretty good guy.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
From what I've known him.
Uh-huh.
I want to talk about, real quick, you guys, you heard of Ron Paul, haven't you?
I have, yeah. He's a libertarian congressman from Texas.
Yeah. Actually, he's got an R behind his name.
Yes.
But it doesn't, I think we need to understand it doesn't matter. If you go and listen to this guy and listen to what he talks about, this guy is the most unbelievable American that I think I've ever seen in the House.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when you almost think he's alien.
Yeah.
I mean, you're like, how could he talk like that? How could he say that? Because the stuff he's saying, I mean, it's just amazing.
Now, give me an example.
Those other people won't touch it.
What position of Ron Paul's really resonates, or as Bush would say, resonates with you?
Well, I think everything. I think he talks about the Fed Reserve. Just about every patriot issue that we're worried about, the free trade policies, the border that's out of control, the how we're heading toward the bankruptcy, and, you know, we all know that. They tested it out the other day. So, I mean, anybody believes that that was some computer glitch is smoking something. They deliberately did that, and they wanted to test it. And people were getting on there saying, oh, it was just some computer glitch or BS. They knew what was going on. They deliberately did it. They wanted to see what happened. I mean, look how easy it is to steal billions from people. If you glitch the system just like that, people sell. Look what happened.
Mm-hmm.
People lost billions. Just like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, so but the people that ultimately run the whole system, you're going to tell me they can't tweak it and just to see what it do? That's exactly the way I see it. I don't know about you. What do you think?
Well, here's the metaphor I'll use. About a year and a half ago, I saw a fascinating article in a newspaper profiling a young man who runs the IT operation at a casino in Las Vegas. And from the control room that's upstairs, you know, behind those bubble cameras and the two-way mirrors and all that, he had complete control over every slot machine in that casino. And he could decide to make somebody really happy on their next pull of the lever. And he even had the ability to change, say, a Wheel of Fortune slot machine to a Jeopardy slot machine remotely. And
wow.
To me, that's an interesting look at just how much control the bosses, whoever you want to define them as, have over our lives. And, you know, do they change the screen on the ATM machine when I go and pull out some 20s? Well, I don't think so. Could they? Yeah. And now we know.
I never heard about that story. What?
The data mining operation that was at the Pentagon that was shut down is back. And they just announced the other day that they're spending more taxpayer dollars to go through various types of information with supercomputers. And just imagine, you know, you're a member of a supermarket club now so that you don't have to pay ridiculous retail prices for something. Well, they scan your item, scan your card, and they have a complete record of every grocery item that you've purchased. And, you know, if that's where you buy your vodka, they know how much vodka you're consuming.
You know how to get around that? And I'm going to let the whole world know because I hate those cards.
Yeah, how do you do it?
It's either 555-1212, put your area code in where you live.
Yeah.
Or here it's 480-876-5309, which is honest to God.
Wait a minute.
It really is, and you can use it at any store because the same company uses the same deal.
Dude.
I hope I don't ruin it for me. But
okay, but that last number you gave, that's from the Tommy Two-Tone song.
Exactly.
Called Jenny, 86.
480 in front of it. You go to Fry's, you can go to any of these stores because they all are using the same one.
Look what I learned doing a talk show. Thanks for the call, buddy.
All
great
right, buddy,
to talk to you. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. You get knocked down and you get back up again, right?
But does it bollocks not compared to how people matter?
You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special.
Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Let's take a look at traffic as you folks make your way home this evening and give you the very latest. First of all, want to mention that we are working on a problem. Let's see, CHP telling us that we have a new problem. This would be in Del Monte Forest, Holman Highway at 68. We have, looks like some folks still on the roadway there, but CHP on scene, so that should be cleared up fairly soon. Also want to mention that we have a Capitola crash. Northbound one at 41st Avenue. Two vehicles on the right shoulder of the off-ramp. And we want to mention that we're working on a situation in Prunedale, 156 at Meridian. Fender bender there. Two vehicles. They are involved. CHP is, in fact, on scene, which is certainly some good news there. And this report brought to you by River Rock Casino. Win your share of $80,000 every Monday through Thursday, March 5th through 29th. River Rock Casino.
I'm going to have to try that at my little Safeway store. Lots of emails coming in here to peterbcollins.com. Address it to humblehost@peterbcollins.com. It'll get me. And I want to acknowledge the best barks coming out of New Hampshire. Thank you to Brian and the whole gang there. All right, up next, it is line four. That's Ryan in Tempe. Ryan, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show, and thanks for listening.
Well, in light of some of your earlier comments, Peter, I'd like to say you're welcome for taking my call.
Happy to accept.
But really, again, I'm the one who's grateful. I haven't been hearing you for too long on the station, but I really have come to be very fond of the show. And again, I'd like to echo the sentiments of a lot of the earlier people, in that what they've done a little bit to the Newcomb Show and you just really smacks of the exact situation that gave birth to Nova M Radio to begin with, you know, with them taking Mike Malloy off and everything. And all I can say is up until about a week ago, they had the best lineup of programs on the station they've had since Air America began, you know, and Nova M and so forth, but Air America before that. I'm really fond of this Tom Hartman show. I'm really fond of your show. I'm really fond of Newcomb. I'm really fond of Malloy. And maybe I just don't think like a corporate executive, but really, Peter, I'm going to miss you an awful lot.
Well, I appreciate that. And I do not cast aspersions on the people who make these decisions. And you know why? I've actually made decisions like this. I'm a part owner of KRXA in Monterey, helped put the station on the air and put it together. And you take a look at the programs that are available, you make difficult choices, and when a show either doesn't work that well for you or doesn't fit your concept, then you have to make a difficult choice to anger some of your listeners by replacing it. And I've been through it on you know, just about every side of the table. And so I have an understanding for what has occurred here. It doesn't make it any easier from the point of view as a host who really loves doing this and appreciates the great connection that we've made with the listeners in Phoenix. But, another day will come, and this show will go on.
Well, and I would just like to say to a lot of the folks out there who are upset about this, I am as well, but let's remember how important getting liberal talk on this medium out there is. And so please don't turn your hearts away. We've had a lineup changes before. Keep at it, keep writing, keep calling, and maybe we'll get the lineup we had a week ago back on someday.
All right. Well, that's very thoughtful of you, and I appreciate that, Ryan.
Hey, you're welcome, Peter. Have a good one.
All right. Goodbye. We have a few minutes left, and I haven't heard from anybody who's happy to see me go, and I haven't heard from Steve. So if Steve's out there, or if you're one of those people who say, man, he's been stinking up the airways, good to get rid of you, go ahead and call. I'll take your call, 888-5-PETER-B. It's toll-free. I'll pay for the call, too. Mike in Scottsdale, go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Hello, Peter B. Thank you for taking my call.
Ouch!
And thank you for taking all of our calls in Phoenix for the last year.
Well, it's been my pleasure. It truly has, and it's been a rewarding experience. I've learned a lot about Arizona. I know a lot more about your senators than I did a year ago, and so it's a mutual victory.
And we know a lot more about the Left Coast.
Well, why don't you come on out and spend some money in California? You know, we're still broke, and we've got this Austrian-born action movie star pretending to be our governor.
I lived in California for 10 years. I was in the Loma Prieta earthquake.
Oh, 1989.
Yep. I have fond memories of California except for that day.
Where were you that day?
I was in the Palo Alto VA hospital working at the time.
Ooh.
And that was a bad scene, but we got everybody out, and it was worrisome for a while because the electricity went out, and then it came on for a long enough time for us to see on the TV that the Bay Bridge had collapsed. Then
right.
It went out again. So we were very concerned that the whole city was in ruins.
Yeah. Well, I was actually on my way to the World Series game, and I was on the escalator at Candlestick Park, which has got three different names since then. But it was really wild. At first, we thought it was a jet from SFO that had flown too low and just kind of caused vibration on the ground. Then the jet was gone, and we were still shaking. And that's when we knew that it was a major. Well, I want to thank you for checking in. Great to hear from you, and we will meet again.
Well, one quick thing I wanted to say was it's a bittersweet departure. I guess in a way it's nice that we have an embarrassment of riches in liberal talk radio today. Jeff Sirius is a great guy. He's a real hard worker. He really deserves this chance now to have his own show during the weekday hours.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives us the local element that's lacking, actually. We need to have that in our lineup as well. So I think he is definitely a great asset to the lineup. And
great, and I wish him all the best. I hope it's successful.
But we really miss you, too. And if you could, please consider coming back, even on a time delay in the evening or in the morning. We'd love to hear you, because a little of you is better than nothing at all.
All right. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Rita in Sun City, you're next on the PBC show. Thanks for calling.
This is my first time, Peter.
Really? Another
yes.
Virgin. Wow.
But I have been listening to you for a long time on 1480, and I'm sure going to miss you.
Well, thank
you.
So
I have a friend by the name of Dolly. She's 82, as I am.
Uh-huh.
And we both will miss you. I have a computer, but the speakers don't work.
It's
an old one. So I don't know how I'm going to hear you.
Well, find a young tech support person who can help you get that squared away.
Oh, okay.
A neighbor.
The other thing is for Billy Foster, that's B. Foster, and what's the number of
at,
the letters?
At AAPHX.
AAPHX.
It's Air America Phoenix. AAPHX.com.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Rita.
Okay.
Great to have you listening.
Bye.
I really appreciate it. Mike, you get the last word here. Mike and Tempe.
Peter, sorry to see you go. I started listening to you in Chicago a long time ago.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow. You're really old.
Well, yes, in one way and not in another.
This is something we had in Chicago. Thanks for the call, Mike.
That's all, folks.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
At Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Matt, I really believe that the pagan and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you helped us have.
I totally concur. And the problem is we've adopted that agenda at the highest levels of our government. And so
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. I've got a good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. When the general in charge of Walter Reed Army Medical Center was relieved of command yesterday, he was replaced with a man who disputed reports of serious patient care problems. It wasn't exactly what the new defense secretary had in mind, and today he took corrective action.
Secretary of Defense Robert Gates announced that the Army's highest-ranking civilian, Francis Harvey, is out of a job.
From what I have learned, the problems at Walter Reed appear to be problems of leadership. The Walter Reed doctors, nurses, and other staff are among the best and the most caring in the world.
Gates said he's disappointed that some in the Army have not taken the situation seriously enough.
Our wounded soldiers and their families have sacrificed much, and they deserve the best we can offer.
He said he ordered a quick appointment of a new commander for the hospital. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Not one but two congressional committees will investigate the problems at Walter Reed, including the panel chaired by Vermont Senator Patrick Leahy.
The Armed Services Committee is going to do a top-to-bottom review of this, and I think they'll come out with the names, because obviously there are a lot of people who knew this was going on. If you had people who knew it was going on, did nothing about it, of course they should be fired.
In a memo made public today, the deputy commander at Walter Reed cites problems with staffing and says patient care services are at risk of mission failure if corrective action isn't taken. President Bush will appoint a commission to investigate the care of wounded military personnel. Tomorrow, the president travels to parts of Alabama and Georgia hit by yesterday's deadly tornadoes. In Enterprise, Alabama, where eight students of the high school were killed, Governor Bob Riley surveyed the scene today.
I'm just amazed. I mean, just the sheer power of what, look at these cars thrown around like toothpicks.
CBS News correspondent Mark Strassman has the sad story of one victim.
A high school senior named Mikey Tompkins, a baseball player here at Enterprise High School, his father is deployed to Iraq. Got the word yesterday and is on his way back here now to Enterprise. Deployed to Iraq, and on Tuesday he returns here to bury his son.
Six deaths are blamed on the blizzard in the upper Midwest, where blowing snow continues to clog roads and cause whiteouts. Rebecca Arndt is with Minnesota's Transportation Department.
We've had plenty of snow in this area, and our ditches are full. And so this new light, fluffy stuff just flies up and around. Whether it's coming down out of the sky or not is almost irrelevant. It can still be blowing sideways across the road, and you can't see.
Okay, Kevin, I hope you got it. I hope you win.
With the good wishes of a lottery vendor, another would-be millionaire takes a chance on tonight's $275 million Mega Millions jackpot. The 12-state lottery hasn't had a big winner since January 9th. No winners on Wall Street this week. The Dow closed 120 points lower at 12,114. It lost 533 points this week. This is CBS News.
Get the
One of the most stylish accessories available at your local Napa Auto Parts store isn't for your car. It's for your head. It's the all-new 2007 Napa Racing Hat, and it can be yours free. Just bring any old hat into your local Napa Auto Parts store, and you can swap it for this cool new Napa Racing Hat. Hats are free with any purchase at participating Napa locations while supplies last. Limit one per customer. Napa. Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Now, you have a very unique accounting system for your boutique.
Yep, I designed my own spreadsheet.
Wow, looks complicated.
That's why I have HE for my
my spreadsheet.
That is one big cheat sheet.
That's just the index.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Really?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
I'm switching.
Great.
Can you help me fold this back up?
I doubt it. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
A Southern California woman first learned she was pregnant after she went into labor. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has the story.
No, that isn't a stomachache you're having. It's a baby. Those aren't exactly the words April Branham heard, but it pretty much sums up her week. The 39-year-old woman went to a local emergency room on Monday with stomach pain. There, doctors took x-rays, and they discovered something much different, a full-term fetus. The new mother, who weighs around 420 pounds, says she had no idea she was even pregnant. She never had morning sickness, never felt the baby kick. On Wednesday, the baby was delivered, a healthy 7-pound, 7-ounce boy. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Marine Lance Corporal Derek Sharp lost his right leg after an explosion in Iraq, so when he returned home to Berwick, Pennsylvania this week, it was his girlfriend who got down on one knee and asked him to marry her. He was stunned, but he said yes. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Center, this is Sandy. How can I help you?
Can you check a service engine light?
Well, of course, I can take care of that for you.
OnStar can run a diagnostic check of your vehicle's key systems while you're driving.
When was the last time you put fuel in the Montana?
Day before yesterday.
What I'm showing is an emission system malfunction. What it means is that your fuel cap's not on tight enough.
Oh, well, wonderful.
Only GM offers so many vehicles with the peace of mind of OnStar.
All you're going to need to do is take it off and put it back on, and then the light will go off. That's all that's wrong.
Thank you. I'll do it right now.
Can I assist with anything else?
Nope, that's fine.
Do remember that we're here to help you 24 hours a day. Thank you for using OnStar.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles and covers unlimited use of all safety and security services. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio.
Wow.
And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
It's the third and final hour of the Peter B. Collins Show on a Friday. Per usual, we're checking in with his Bradness, Brad Friedman at bradblog.com.
I was walking down the street, concentrating on trucking right. I heard a dark voice beside of me, and I looked round in a state of fright.
I saw four faces, one man, a brother from the gutter. They looked me up and down a bit and turned to each other.
You know, I don't really like reggae.
I say I don't like reggae.
Minutes after the hour, time to check in with Brad Friedman, the Rasta dude who runs bradblog.com, working to protect our election integrity. Hey, Brad.
Hey, how are you, Peter?
I'm doing okay. It's a bittersweet day. You're getting a lot of love out of Phoenix, and I'm going to miss all the folks there. I don't like Phoenix. I love it.
sorry to see us go, especially with everything that's going on right now in Arizona on election reform and the folks who have been so close to the Peter B. Show. It is a sad day in Phoenix.
Yeah, and we've got some breaking election news, election integrity news coming out of Arizona. We also have a Brad blog exclusive that'll be posted this weekend, an interview with Clint Curtis, who's still fighting over a purloined election in Florida last fall. And I understand late breaking Ann Coulter bimbo eruption?
Yeah, it looks like it's getting pretty ugly there at the Conservative Political Action Committee, and the rock star of CPAC, Ann Coulter, has shot her mouth off again in her slow decline from Ann Coulter pundit to Don Rickles, except without the funniness.
All right, well, let's save that for later so that
people
have to linger for it. But what did she wear? Did she have a little black dress on?
You know what? I don't know. There is some video up on it, though, so we'll find out.
All right, we'll have the experts take a closer look at that. Well, where would you like to start, Brad?
Boy, pick a place. It's been a heck of a week. I tell you, I've been buried in some deep investigative reports here that I hope we'll be able to fly with next week. Some real troubling stuff going on concerning certification for voting systems for America, but I'll give you this heads up. I had a very interesting conversation with about four of the top honchos recently at the Elections Assistance Commission. They're the ones who oversee the entire certification process for all voting machines in America.
Mm-hmm.
And a little interesting bit of news from that conference call that I'll have more on soon. But they tell me that there is not any federal certification for any system in America so far, that no system in use is actually federally certified.
Really?
Yeah.
Wasn't that a requirement of HAVA?
Yeah. In fact, the Help America Vote Act created the EAC.
Right.
And mandated them to oversee the federal certification for voting systems. But what they did, apparently, was pawn off the job to the to NASED, the National Association of State Election Directors, let them handle it. And now they were the group that, you know, was working with all of these testing labs that have shown to be, you know, huge failures and had no procedures in place and so forth. So they were the group that issued certification numbers, but the EAC is now failing to stand behind any of those certification numbers, saying, oh, we didn't do it. Those are NASED certifications. There was no federal certifications until now. And, I mean, it's the most bizarre, you know, they're passing the buck. And what is so extraordinary about it is that the folks that I was talking to, who now run the EAC, were all the same folks who actually ran NASED when they were handing out these certification numbers. So they don't even stand behind their own work. I mean, all of this has brought up, you know, I was talking with John Gideon of Voters Unite earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
This thing, Peter, is a sham. I mean, it is a sham from top to bottom, this certification process. And wait until you see the story that we're working on. But we're, you know, trying to figure out the 1990 certification standards versus the 2002 standards versus the 2005, and what equipment was certified when, and did it pass the independent testing authority labs, and did NASED give it a number? And, I mean, the unbelievable hoops that folks are all, it's like they're all playing along with this to certify these systems that do nothing more than, you know, add one plus one plus one, is simply mind-boggling, and we're all sort of playing along with it. You know, tear off a piece of paper, put on your vote on there, count it, and let's be done with this thing. It's an unbelievable sham, and this is one of the things that came out as well last week in the report that came out of the contested Florida election down there in Sarasota, where they're still fighting over it. They did a state report on it, and the state report is so unbelievably complex and complicated and speaks to the technical nature of these systems, and it includes a chart that is just a mind-boggling graph of how these, you know, votes are, how they add one plus one. I mean, it's really like the old joke of, you know, how many elections officials does it take to screw in a light bulb at this point? That's really what we're at. And
with apologies,
in this world quite deeply over the past week or so, as we're working on this team report with myself and Michael Richardson and John Gideon, who we've all been doing these reports on the EAC. It is just mind-boggling, and ultimately, what an unbelievable sham the entire process really is.
And now an official apology to our Polish friends.
Excuse me.
So So if there is no certification process, then we have no standards for the use of electronic machines, whether they're the DRE, the touchscreens that we fear the most, or the optical scan tabulators that we worry about but have a little less concern than the DREs.
Well, and we only have less concern because we know that we can actually go and count the paper for ourselves, the paper ballots for ourselves if they exist, as they do with an optical scan machine. But, no, to be clear, there is certification, there is standards, and there is certification procedures, but there is no federally certified systems in existence in America, according to the United States Elections Assistance Commission. I mean, it's this bizarre standard that I can only presume is meant to keep them out of trouble for all of the garbage that they have been approving when they were NASED, when they were, you know, underfunded. The EAC has been notoriously underfunded. In fact, the first director of the EAC quit. You've had him on the show, I think, DeForest Sorries.
Right.
You know, quit because they never got the proper funding. They spent most of their time walking around in Washington, D.C. trying to find office space. And so they pawned off the system to NASED. Now they're not standing behind that NASED certification, even though these were the same. I mean, the executive director right now of the EAC is a fellow by the name of Tom Wilkie. He was the chairman of the NASED Voting System Standards Board. He was the guy all through 04 and 05 and everything else who oversaw the NASED certification system. Now he's sitting there at the EAC, and he's saying, "Oh well, we can't say anything about what NASED certified and what they didn't. That was up to them. Them? It's him." I got to tell you, I mean, it was just an extraordinary phone call. I think it'll be an extraordinary report, but the case just gets worse and worse for this EAC. And unfortunately, the new Holt. One of the other downsides right now of the Holt election reform bill that we've been talking about that's moving through Congress is that it makes the EAC permanent. Previously, it had only been it had been sunsetted. I think they were supposed to go from 03 through 07, and now Holt will make them permanent. And I had suggested they don't, and in fact, they, you know, keep them on probation until 2010 if they're going to keep them around at all. But that's another concern with this, with the Holt legislation, unfortunately.
Well, the only way I could support extending the life of that is if they actually gave us national standards for election procedures and enforced them.
Well, they now claim that they have procedures that they will finally be using and theoretically standing behind. This was one of the reasons why they refused accreditation to the test lab called Cyber a few months ago now, you may recall. And they claim that, you know, that's the process now of getting these labs certified for the first time to be able to test, and they've got all new procedures, and everything will be fine if we just give them enough time.
Oh, great. Okay, well,
you don't have to worry.
It's just time to say, trust me, and let it all ride. We're going to take a break and return with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. If you have a question or comment, you can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. 17 minutes after the hour here at the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Rock Roller Real Estate, the number one Sunday morning real estate show. This week we'll be talking about a great market, Palm Springs and the surrounding areas, Indian Wells, La Quinta, Palm Desert, and Indio. That's this Sunday morning at 10. For more information on Rock Roller Real Estate, log on to our website at www.rockrollandrealestate.com or call us at 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
TGIF Monterey, let's take a look at the latest and get you home safely tonight. Well, we're going to talk a little about what's happening in Capitola, Highway 1 northbound at 41st Avenue. Two-vehicle crash. Now, this off to the right shoulder of the off-ramp. And so it looks like CHP, obviously, on scene. Then we have two Prunedale problems. It looks like 156 at Meridian. We have a two-vehicle crash there that's involved. CHP on the scene. And 156 eastbound before Cathedral Oak Road. Three vehicles reportedly blocking lanes there. CHP, in fact, on scene. And in King City, northbound 101 just after Central Avenue. Ooh, watch out. A bucket. That's right, a bucket in the lanes. And not to get too concerned there, folks. This report brought to you by JCPenney's Extreme Sale. It's a JCPenney's Extreme Sale today, tomorrow. Doors open early at 8 a.m. Savings matter. Every day matters at JCPenney. I'm Mike. That's traffic on KRXA.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on 21 after the hour. Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com, our man on election protection, is with us on the program today. And, Brad, we got a couple of callers who want to join us. Up first, it's George from Phoenix. Hello, George. You're on the PBC show.
Yeah, Peter B., I'm going to miss you when I'm working, but when I'm home with the computer, I took down all your information, and I can go directly to your station.
Well, beautiful. And just go to peterbcollins.com. That's where all the links are to the live stream during this time period and also to our archives, which you can grab afterward. And in case there's a big demand on Monday, we are working to expand our streaming capabilities. I don't know if it'll be all online on Monday, but if you get a reject, you just keep trying, and we'll make sure there's enough bandwidth there soon enough, okay?
Okay, and also when I hear you say that you're on a Phoenix station, I'll tell my friends.
Okay, cool. Thank you, George.
Okay, and have a good one.
You bet. Now to Jamie in Humboldt, California. Hello, Jamie. You're on the PBC show with Brad.
Yeah, hi, Peter and Brad. I was to last night. There was an election committee meeting, and in our recorder, county recorder, was bringing up her experiences. What they're doing here in Humboldt County is trying to do a voting transparency where they're going to hope to scan all the ballots and then let independent people look at them and verify their own count and kind of remove any concerns that people legitimately might have in this day and age. Anyway,
That sounds promising. I think your election director up there is pretty on target. Isn't that right, Brad? I don't recall her name.
I'm not sure which guy. I didn't hear which county it was.
Humboldt.
Carolyn Cernich.
And Humboldt. Yeah. Well, they are trying to do that up in Humboldt, and I know they're running into some problems with it. But she is certainly trying to work with the election integrity advocates to be as transparent as possible. And, yeah, in fact, was talking about each and every scanned ballot being made available so that people could, perhaps on the Internet, so that people could go and check them for themselves. I applaud that effort. I hope they're able to overcome the security concerns, actually, that do legitimately exist with that system right now.
Well, it would be only a trial, a provisional thing, a learning experience perhaps, but it seems to me that it would offer the possibility of getting a greater understanding of how sometimes our electoral processes are working. Anyway, she was mentioning that perhaps as a red herring, perhaps she didn't really say a red herring, and she didn't really say that it was necessarily who was doing it, but there's some concerns being expressed about errant marks on ballots being used in vote selling schemes, and I was just wondering whether either of you gentlemen could comment on the current state of the fine art of vote selling.
All right, Brad.
Well, yeah, those concerns I have seen. Those are, I think, were expressed to them by the Secretary of State out there in California. As I understand the concerns. For example, if I lived up in Humboldt, let's say I went in and I voted for whoever on a optical scan paper ballot, and I put some special mark on there, and in that way, if those ballots are then made available on the Internet, Peter B. Collins, who has offered me hundreds of dollars in the past to vote for his candidate, could then go to the website and look for that mark and see if, in fact, I voted for the people he paid me to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
That's the concern with that.
Sure,
that's one of the concerns with that. You know, you also have situations, and this is one of the reasons why they don't let people, you know, leave with a receipt of their vote, because you could walk out and, you know, say, see, I voted for such and such, now give me my $20. Or you could be threatened. Let's say an abusive husband threatens his wife, if you don't vote for X, Y, and Z, you're in trouble. And so you have to come out with proof that you voted for it. So those are some of the concerns. I do applaud the quest of those folks up there, Carolyn Cernich and the advocates up there, trying to find a way to offer transparency, but perhaps ultimately the best way might be to, you know, allow people access to the counting on election night, and then beyond that, access in some fashion to those ballots down at the Board of Elections, rather than making them available on the Internet, at least until they come up with some way to figure out how to work around those concerns.
And I only have one correction. I never pay cash to people who deliver votes. It's either Boone's Farm or Mickey's Big Mouth.
Yes, I know. I didn't want to mention that. But
To be honest, I think there's equal or greater problems with absentee ballots. In the regards and concerns you expressed, Brad. But what I'm wondering is, I know that in Tammany Hall they used to have vote selling, and I also know that there are a lot of people who are concerned about election fraud with electronic voting and everything else. And just comparing the two, it seemed to me that our bigger concern is the concern with electronic voting, and I just wondered how much evidence you see or know about of actual vote buying that goes on.
Well, you know what, and you make all good points. So, I mean, it is a good discussion to have and to try to work through. I'm not aware of any particular, report or body of knowledge of vote selling. I think you're right. It is, real hard to do, save for the absentee balloting scheme you talk about. So, but no, I don't have any scientific evidence one way or another. I'd certainly be open to it, and I'm open to what they're doing up in Humboldt. But, you know, there are those concerns, and they are worth looking at and measuring against your point that, well, that could happen via absentee balloting as is.
That is a good point. And, Jamie, yep. You know, I learned about election graft and corruption in Chicago from the original Boss Daley, and his little boy, Richie, was reelected mayor for the fourth or fifth time this week. And I know in Chicago they never actually had to check the ballots of the people that they had patronage jobs or other commitments. It was an honor system, and it worked. You know, there is honor among those thieves. Thanks for your call, Jamie. We'll continue with Brad Friedman coming up next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium. Or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
There was this man who almost learned to walk at a rehab center that almost got built by people who almost gave. Almost gave. How good is almost giving? About as good as almost walking. As generous a nation as we are, sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. Don't almost give. Give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Vote means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testified lying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can be.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. You'll probably say it three more times, see? In my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. kind of catapult the propaganda.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
If you want to be a voter, don't count on Sarasota, because in Sarasota, your vote won't. Electronic voting's in, democracy is out. I walked up to the courthouse, heard the people say, something rotten happened here on election day. The judge said, sorry people, you can't look at what's inside. These machines are corporate secrets, this ain't the time for civic pride. If you want to be a voter, don't count on Sarasota, because the judge here told us your vote doesn't have to count. 18,000 votes are missing. Is anybody listening? Electronic voting's in, democracy is out.
We continue now with Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com. And Brad emailed me that song last week, and I got distracted and didn't play it while we were actually talking about Sarasota. That's the disputed election that nominally put Vern Buchanan, a Republican, into the House by a margin of 369 votes over Christine Jennings. And, Brad, do we have anything new from Florida 13? There's another Florida race we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah, so far not this week. Nothing new since that report came out last week, which was widely discredited all over the place, including Princeton's Ed Felton, the fellow who hacked the Diebold system last summer, who also came out with problems and concerns that were revealed in that report. All kinds of mess. I will, before we get to the Clint Curtis business, though, let me toss in one point that was notable from the beginning of this week, a new report out from Voters Unite. That shows in New Mexico, where they moved from touchscreen systems back in 2004 to optical scan paper ballot systems this year, 2006, the rate of undervote rates for minorities dropped precipitously, about 85% in American Indian reservations, 69% in Hispanic areas, which just further lays into this notion out there that somehow touchscreen optical scan DRE machines, I'm sorry, not op scan, touchscreen DRE machines somehow better serve minorities than paper-based ballots. They don't.
And if you had
more evidence to show that.
If you had to speculate, why were there significant undervotes recorded by the machines but not by paper ballots?
It's very difficult to say, but I will tell you that one of the things that has come out of that particular study, which I find to be quite troubling, is this notion that touchscreen machines offer a whole new opportunity for racial profiling. In other words, when you go to vote, if you tell it at the top of the procedure that you'd like to vote in Spanish or Chinese or whatever language, keep in mind, now the machine knows who you are, what your ethnicity is, and can react accordingly. You know, the programming can react accordingly, which is very troubling.
I was telling the story last hour, Brad, on another topic, another note, that about a year and a half ago, I read an article about a guy who works at a casino in Las Vegas, a young guy, a geek. He's their IT director, and he sits in a control room up above the casino rooms where all the slot machines are, and he can control every machine from his master computer. He can decide when the jackpot gets paid, when he can even change the skin on the machine from, say, Wheel of Fortune to Jeopardy to you know, any other theme that they use. And I just look at that and think, well, gosh, you know, when there's that much money on the line, we can exercise incredible control over this kind of machinery.
Yeah.
And when elections are at stake, and it's the equivalent of a lot of money on the line, well, there certainly is the motive for people to manipulate machines and try to control the outcome.
There's no question about it. I think that's one of the problems that we've been facing in this whole battle is that, you know, we've talked about it before, but America has a very, very rich history of, you know, stealing elections. And yet there's this belief, I think, amongst Americans in general right now that, oh, that sort of thing would never happen here, would never happen in this country. Quite the contrary. It has happened, and it still seems to be happening, at least if the current case that's ongoing in Arizona, another reason I'm sorry we're going to be off the air in Arizona, because there is a rather hot case going on right now in Pima County, down in Tucson, where they've determined that not only did the election director down there print out the results of the election prior to the election, in other words, with early voting out of the way, printed out those numbers so that folks could take a look and say, okay, well, where do we need to make last-minute, you know, knock on doors and robocalls? That's highly unusual. They're now down there taking depositions. It's very troubling, but furthermore, throughout the process of the depositions, I'm being told by sources down there, they're finding all sorts of remarkable things, like they may have been gaming the tabulation databases throughout that whole process. That's, I mean, and going all the way back to 1996.
Oh.
So there were, when there was actually some an election in Arizona, they thought Pat Buchanan was going to win out there, and suddenly he didn't win the state of Arizona. So yeah, we have a rich history of this, and I think it's naive for a lot of Americans, and I'd put myself in that group as well, you know, who thought, well, you know, this sort of thing doesn't happen there. We don't really have to worry about these things, do we? Well, yeah, we damn well do.
Now, since we're in Arizona and we haven't hitchhiked to Florida yet, let's pick up Randall in Tempe, one of our veteran callers. Hello, Randall.
Peter, thank you for having a telephone.
You're welcome.
What's on your mind? Why did you call me?
I wanted to know if you have any more information about the Pima County case.
Oh, no, I don't. I hear there's a lawsuit going on. But we have a bill in the state Senate. It's kind of the son of 1557, which passed last year. And it's been passed by the Committee of the Whole Senate. I won't bore you with the details. But we'd like everyone in the sound of my voice in Arizona to call your state senator and later your representative when it gets to the state house and ask them to please support SB 1623, which is the paper ballot audit. And it takes care of that little problem in Pima County. You're not supposed to start counting the early votes. Now, the early votes, the mail-in ballots and the early votes are like 54% of the turnout in Arizona. So if you release the, if you start counting those ballots and release the results, it's like the biggest polling sample in the world, and it, that kind of information is worth millions of dollars.
You bet. That's the poll that really counts.
Yeah, and what it does is any hanky panky along those lines will be I think a class 6 felony or something like that, and tampering with election results will be a class 3 felony. And anybody who says, well, that's pretty stiff, you know, it's only 2.5 years in prison for a class 3. But anybody that says that's a nonviolent crime is not thinking all the way down the line of reasoning, because this 600,000 people we've killed in Iraq was due to a stolen election, and the federal budget is $3 trillion, and that's enough motive for anybody to steal.
Well, you put it very well, Randall. Brad, did you have a comment or a question for Randall?
Yeah, well, indeed, I'm glad that Randall called, because it points out, I think that it is in no small part because, Peter, you have been one of the rare voices in the media who has been staying on this stuff, who has been following election reform, one of the most important stories, if not the most important story in the country. You've been following it out there in Arizona, which has led, I believe, in no small part to the education of the folks in Arizona who are amongst the best in the country. Guys like Randall, John Brakey, Ted Downing. I mean, we've talked about it before, but Arizona is the only state in the union where there is an election integrity committee on the inside the Democratic State Party. That's huge news, and I think it's no small part because you've been out there making noise, rallying for this every
week. Randall's making noise right now.
Was that Randall?
I'm putting my shovels back in the truck. I just swabbed the decks, and I'm getting off work here.
Oh, I thought maybe you buried some evidence. Try to keep it quiet there. We've got an open line here to Arizona, Randall.
I'm sorry. Peter, I hope that thing's cordial here. We want to try to get you back sometime, and I'm really sorry you're not going to at least be on late at night.
Well, I'm ready, willing, and able, Randall.
Yeah, and hey, would you be jealous if Brad saw other hosts?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll work on that. We do need to get the info from Brad as off. Oh, there goes a coyote. Just watch. There's a couple coyotes.
Beautiful.
Wow. I'm up here by the billboard here.
I am neither jealous nor possessive.
There's a whole family of coyotes just walking right through here. Well, we're right up against the Piestewa Peak here. But yeah, and we're going to miss you, like everybody says. Jeff is going to do a fine job. He's really come a long way. He's kind of new at the radio business, and we do need the local angle, but golly, Peter, I'm not blowing smoke. I think you're one of the best, and be listening online, if nothing else.
Well, thank you, Randall.
I'll be calling in. I won't know what the topic is, so I'll just guess.
That'll be fine.
And Friday night at 6, I know what the topic is.
You bet. All right. Thank you, Randall.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks, Brad. And hi, Desi.
Bye-bye. He's got the shovels, and he knows how to really lay it on thick.
Oh, he does indeed. I will tell folks in Arizona, just because we hate to lose Phoenix entirely on this issue, that at least KPHX is still, I believe, going to continue running Cynthia Black's show on Sunday. She covers a lot of these election reform issues. She only gets an hour on Sunday, but she's very good on these topics, and in between tuning in to Peter B. on the Internet, there you can get your local Phoenix election fix on Sundays, at least from her.
Yeah, she called in last week. She's really well-informed, so I think
she is indeed.
That is a good good recommendation. About 2 minutes to the break. Should we talk about Clint Curtis, or should we dish on Ann Coulter?
Well, you have the quotes. I don't know if I had too much more to add to them, and I don't even know if you're allowed to read them on the air, but she had a few words to say at the Conservative Political Action Committee, Action Conference, where right. She is the rock star, the superstar of that conference. Going to run a few of these on Brad blog shortly, but if you want to read them, I leave it to you. Peter.
Well, they don't have any verboten words in here. It's just offensive concepts. It's not the words. It's the ideas. All right, so this is what Ann Coulter thinks is funny. And what apparently conservatives she thinks would laugh at, or maybe they actually did. There are three lines here. What's Al Gore up to these days? 400 pounds. Did Al Gore actually swallow Michael Moore? All right, next one. Obama is half white and half black. Clinton was half white, half trash.
Good one.
And finally, I was going to have a few comments about John Edwards, but you have to go into rehab if you use the word faggot. Now, that one just puzzles me, because there are a lot of ways you could criticize John Edwards, but he does appear to be a raging heterosexual.
I'm astounded by that comment that she would make. That I suppose that's probably the purpose of it, to astound people and to get some more headlines. I wish there were headlines concerning her voter fraud down there in Florida, but if that's what it takes to get the word out, and if she's proud of that sort of thing, and the conservatives are proud of her and want to have her back year after year as they do, so be it. Hard to know if it's an improvement over last year when she talked about where she said, I think our motto should be post 9/11, raghead talks tough, raghead faces consequences. I mean, this is what passes for conservative entertainment these days.
Well, and she's just so subtle. That's what I like about her.
Yeah.
We'll take a break and continue with Brad Friedman. And as promised, we'll give you the update on Clint Curtis and his disputed election in Florida. That's ahead next, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective, here on KRXA 540.
Well, let's get you home safely, our last half report of the night. And what do we have to report? Well, I can tell you that we are getting word of a problem. Now, this would be in Elkhorn, Castroville Boulevard at Paradise. It's a solo crash. Car went off the roadway. CHP now en route to the scene there. Santa Cruz County Highway 1 at Ocean. We have a crash there. It is a, well, it looks like this is a bus and a car involved. So be advised. And CHP also en route to that situation. Now we're going to mention a San Jose problem. This is actually Scotts Valley, southbound 15 after Mount Hermon. We have a fender bender. It's off to the right shoulder. Two vehicles involved. It's the JCPenney Extreme Sale today and tomorrow. Doors open early Saturday morning, 8 a.m. Savings matter. Every day matters at JCPenney. I'm Mike. That's traffic on KXRA AM.
Show.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much.
In this corner, we have Tom Feeney, the Republican incumbent who claimed his opponent was crazy for suggesting that Feeney had approached the opponent's previous employer to rig an election in favor of Republicans. And that person who worked for that company and then decided to challenge Tom Feeney is a courageous guy, a former Republican named Clint Curtis. And he ran against Feeney in last fall's midterm election. And we let Brad Friedman pick up the story from there. He's got an exclusive that'll be up at bradblog.com sometime this weekend.
I will indeed, and I'll also add that song Crazy you just played was used at the Tom Feeney smear site that he created to call Clint Curtis crazy, and at least he used it until the record company called him and said, knock it off, take it down, you don't have the rights to use that song, jerk.
That's because Gnarls Barkley is way too cool for a chump like Tom Feeney.
Indeed he is. Well, the news we've got now coming out of the Clint Curtis race, you may recall that Curtis did very well for a first-time candidate here. I think he had 42% of the vote, which was pretty incredible given he had no money and or anything else, first-time politician. That said, it looks like he may have done a whole lot better than that if we can believe what we're getting now from his reports and his campaign, which has challenged the election down there in Florida, one of five contests that are being challenged in Congress right now. And what they're doing down there at the Clint Curtis campaign, they have been walking the precincts, actually going door to door, looking who voted in each precinct, checking the those who are registered as Democrats and asking them, you know, how they voted and to sign a sworn affidavit concerning their the way they voted. Well, they are finding now, in fact, and this is a quote from the interview that we'll run. It was an interview done by Jim Cyril, who guest blogs at Brad Blog from time to time. And Curtis says, "We have now found absolutely more votes for Democrats than the official results show. Absolutely more votes, no trends, no guesses, more votes. That should never happen."
Hmm.
Says Clint Curtis.
He also says, and I'm reading here in one of the districts, number 66, Curtis only received 55% of the vote, something like that, he said. So now we're canvassing door-to-door all the people who voted, signing affidavits saying, under penalty of perjury, this is how I voted. He said, we're doing my race, the governor's race, and a couple of others. And so far we're finding that in that District 66, 80% of the people who they've talked to voted for him, not just 55%.
Indeed, and this is, they've got sworn affidavits under penalty of perjury, as you say. This isn't the only race down there where this is happening. Another race, John Russell's race down there, he's doing the same thing. He's contested the race to Congress, and it's going to be very interesting. You know, they can't order them to go back and do a recount to check this, because in a lot of these places they've got paperless touchscreen machines. You press the button, the same results are going to come out. So it's very interesting now that they're going, door to door, getting these numbers, with these legal affidavits saying, no, more voters voted for me than showed up in the results. And there's no way to prove they're wrong, essentially, because you've got these electronic voting machines. And I don't know what the heck Congress is going to do with all of these right now, but I suspect with five races now being challenged this year, this thing is only going to get worse, and it's still more reason why we got to get rid of these damn voting machines.
Well, and I'm just proud to see Clint Curtis not conceding, not giving up, and the work that he's doing here post-election could be helpful. It's hard to know whether the Congress will take his race as seriously as they have the Jennings-Buchanan, because the final tally as published was a pretty significant margin. But it's really just gratifying to see that he's like one of those gators in Florida. You know, they get around your ankle and they just don't let go.
Well, one other piece of news. From this interview, he is asked if he's going to give it another shot in 08 to run against Tom Feeney. Clint Curtis replies, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So if Tom Feeney thought he was getting rid of Clint Curtis, he may have another thing coming to him
for
a few more years at least.
Yeah, this is great. Brad, another item that's on the blog right now, we got about 2 minutes remaining, is one that we discussed on the program yesterday about the sacking of these U.S. attorneys by the Bush administration. Now, the people getting fired are all Republicans, but at least in the case of David Iglesias in New Mexico, he has publicly but timidly suggested that he was pressured and resisted pressure to indict a Democrat in his state shortly before last November's election. And he said that he wouldn't name names because, well, you know, New Mexico is a small state and he needs to work and put food on his family, as Bush would say.
That's right.
And so Iglesias has said that he would only cough up names and give more information if he received a subpoena. Well, John Conyers has given him what he asked for.
He has indeed. It's the first time, it's good to see, it's the first time that the Democrats have issued any subpoena since taking power. The Hill reports that it is the first of an avalanche of subpoenas. I don't know if that's the case. That sounds a bit right-wingy to me. Not that I'd be against it, But this is the first time they've done it. They're going to have hearings. These four U.S. attorneys will be testifying next Tuesday, I believe, in a Judiciary Committee subcommittee, hoping it'll be on C-SPAN, hoping it'll be late enough for me to wake up and watch it, and perhaps we'll be able to report on that next week.
Very interesting. And finally, for people who either listened and want to review it or didn't get to listen last week when Brad faced off with Susanna Goodman from Common Cause, the transcript of that discussion is now available at bradblog.com. And yes, I did notice your doctoring of the logos. Brad posted the Common Cause logo holding power accountable, and under it he modified the Bradblog logo to read holding Common Cause accountable. Nice one.
Someone's got to, Peter.
Well, Brad, thank you very much. We'll do this again next week.
I look forward to it, and my best to the folks in Phoenix. We're going to miss you guys. Hope to be back soon.
Same here, and Roy Rogers is going to sing right now, heartfelt, just for people in the Valley of the Sun. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for all the love. I appreciate it.
Happy trails to you.
And happy trails to Matt Renner, who's moving on to bigger and better things at truthout.org. Be looking for his byline soon.
Keep smiling.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. In the unfolding scandal over patient care at Walter Reed Army Medical Center, Defense Secretary Robert Gates fired Army Secretary Francis Harvey today.
I am concerned that some do not properly understand the need to communicate to the wounded and their families that we have no higher priority than their care, and that addressing their concerns about the quality of their outpatient experience is critically important.
Gates was infuriated when he ordered that Walter Reed's top general be relieved of command, only to see him replaced with the Army Surgeon General who's defended the hospital's patient care. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports two congressional committees are investigating the problems.
One committee has unearthed an internal memo from last year in which the deputy commander of Walter Reed complains about staff cuts and then warns patient care services are at risk of mission failure. Now, that would seem to say Army leaders knew something was wrong and failed to fix it.
Veterans groups are very concerned about all this. Peter Gaitan is an American Legion official.
It's the American Legion's hope that the conditions at Walter Reed will be improved, not only the living conditions, but also the bureaucratic red tape that exists for these rehabilitating service members.
President Bush will appoint a commission to investigate patient care at all U.S. military hospitals. Tomorrow, the president visits tornado-ravaged communities in Georgia and Alabama. Eight students at the high school in Enterprise, Alabama, were killed, but English teacher Beverly Thompson says it's no one's fault.
We all knew the plan. We all followed the plan. The plan was the best it could be. We kept as many kids safe as we possibly could. This is an act of God.
CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports jurors at the Scooter Libby trial ended a full week of deliberation with a question for the judge.
What is reasonable doubt? That's a question jurors grapple with every time they go behind closed doors. Before leaving for the weekend, the jury deciding Libby's fate asked what it means in this case. Does the government have to show it wasn't humanly possible for Libby to have forgotten conversations he had with reporters and officials about CIA officer Valerie Plame Wilson? That's a pretty high standard. The judge's answer when jurors return Monday could make or break this case.
The cavemen who star in those Geico commercials.